about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What it is this.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
When is he going to stop?
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
Hey, everybody here is thinking, you know what, this guy's drunk. You're right.
How far is the festival from the Marriott Palm Desert, you know?
Don't!
I mean...
Woohoo!
Do you think there's rooms at the Marriott available, do you know?
He's whacked out of his gourd!
What did you want the man to do?
The Hoff loves the rock.
And now...
That's easy for you to say.
No, it wasn't. I struggled through that sentence.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It is the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is Monday. Happens to be the first of Poon.
Oh! Give me the box!
Really?
I'm trying to understand what that said.
Give me the box.
That's what it said.
All right.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Nice.
That works.
I like
well,
it.
Well, you know, you look forward. You want to debut Pood with something strong. You don't want to come weak. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
That's what she said.
Hey, did you tell the people to call Psycho Mike?
Nope.com.
Why?
Because people call.
I'm bad.
Dean, why do you ask questions like that?
Because we know we're going to be taking phone calls for Kevin B's What to Do Nephew right when we come on the air. So right before we get on the air, Psycho Mike's supposed to play the thing that says, hey, if you want to talk to Kevin and Bean, call now. Why don't you do that?
Let me tell you what happened. Well, what do you mean, why don't I? I do it almost all the time. I screwed up.
Mondays he forgets.
I would say he's done it 2 out of 4 times since we decided to start doing it.
That sounds about right.
It,
yeah.
That's
we've
most
done
of
it
the
14,
time.
Because we've been doing it for 2 weeks. And I've 2 times I've forgotten. This time there's a cool 0-second intro on the last song we played, the cake song. And so it always sounds good when you do the silence eggs, and I just did it and totally forgot.
By the way, we're only on 5 days a week.
I like that he explains.
So it's not 14, and one day was a holiday. So that's 9.
I like that he explains the whole thing. You know, there's no introduction, and I think it sounds better to go from one song into another, and I forgot.
He said that right, didn't he?
Those two are completely unrelated.
What he's doing is he's trying every defense he's got. And just hoping that one of them will stick.
Yeah.
I was running late for an appointment. I had a stomach ache. My wife is in labor. I thought I was going to run out of gas. My foot got stuck on the pedal. And he just goes on and on and on until the cop lets him go.
Well, we are going to take your calls in a second at 1-800-520-1067. Psycho Mike does not want you to call and get a Kevin and Bean t-shirt. He doesn't want
apparently
that.
Not.
But
apparently not.
If you'd like to call anyway, you certainly can. And then we'll put you on the air and give you a prize.
Guys, what are we going to do about Megan Fox? What are we going to do about her? Because she's vanishing in front of her eyes. I don't know if you saw her on the MTV Movie Awards last night.
Did not.
But she's wasting away. I mean, she's turning into Kelly Ripa or one of those that is just skin and bones. It's very sad and very tragic. And I would like to put a great deal of weight on her.
Wow.
Wow. And I think you know about how much. Whatever I weigh is how much I want to put on her.
A lot more after the Oreos. I'll tell you that.
I don't know. I didn't see her. She's getting way too skinny.
Either. She's probably getting famous actress disease.
I sure don't like.
Which is where they go to skin and bones.
I sure don't like it when they decide they need to look like Ethiopian starving children.
Yeah.
That does not, that's not sexy.
That's
so the designer clothes can hang on them like they're a hanger.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to look for pictures today. I'm sure they're everywhere because the movie awards were last night. But you remember how she famously said in that one interview, I think it was at the Golden Globes or something, that she had a 22-inch waist. It looks like it's down to about 18 now. I mean, it's just crazy. She's brittle at this point.
Yeah. That's not good.
It's not
obviously,
good.
Actresses get a lot of feedback about the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like maybe we're kind of alone in saying let's not be too skinny in Hollywood.
But what she's not getting
she's
not getting any
her.
Negative feedback about the way she looks. It's not like, you know, people have said she's fat.
I don't know. I really don't know.
That's too bad.
Why else would they do it unless they think they look good?
Right. No, you're right.
But if you're just skin and bones and you have no curves whatsoever, I mean, you're a skeleton.
Sad.
Maybe. Jennifer Connelly did the same thing.
Yeah, she did.
Maybe they analyzed the way they look on screen as opposed to the way they look in a mirror.
I'm sure that's true.
Maybe, but
she doesn't look fat on screen.
I know. I'm just. I mean, I'm trying to think.
But then they set stand next to skinny ass actress, and then all of a sudden they feel big and fat. Next thing you know,
yes, but skinny ass is not attractive.
I know. Wow.
All right. Well,
that's too bad.
Who knows? All right. Let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
Give me the box!
No, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call if you want to get on the air with Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Why don't we start with Eddie? He's on line 2 this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about something that a lot of people were reflecting on over the weekend. Hey, Ed, what to do?
What to do, baby boo?
What to do?
What's going on?
How about the Lakers just taking it to the Nuggets?
Oh, it was so sweet.
It was just the best. And one thing that just kicks me off so bad about ESPN is when they're it's not that the Lakers are so good, it's that the Nuggets played so bad.
Well,
not one time where they're referencing how good the Lakers were, just dominating the paint.
Yeah. In honesty, it was both.
Yeah.
That was the worst game the Nuggets had played, but the Lakers also, everyone was scoring and doing their part, and when the Lakers play like that, they can't be beaten.
Yeah.
But the Nuggets also did us a bit of a favor by being bad.
It was a shame that the series was so great. Both series that were going on that ended this weekend were so great, and then the last game was such a dud.
Oh, that wasn't a dud if you're a Laker fan. Not a dud
at all. Well, it was a dud in that it wasn't exciting.
It was very exciting to me, is all I'm saying.
You don't want exciting, do you?
I do, but, you know.
You'll take winning.
I'll take a win, yeah. I don't mind being 20 points ahead.
So great. Both series are good.
Okay, he's apparently done and now sure just listening happening. To the radio, so we'll move on.
Thanks, Eddie. All right, let's go to Chris. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. What it do?
Hello.
What's going on?
What about the Angels? You know, I know you guys are Dodgers fans, but the Angels put it together yesterday. Pretty hell of a game.
I'm not really.
Is this the Angels that lost 2 out of 3 to the Seattle Mariners over the weekend? Is that who you're talking about? Is that the team you're referring to?
Avoided the sweep.
They did avoid the sweep. I guess if you consider that a successful weekend, okay.
Chris, that's you don't want to brag about avoiding a sweep.
Yeah, but 8-1, they should have had it in the bat, right? 8-1.
Yeah, the Mariners were leading 8-1 in the 6th inning, and the bullpen collapsed, and the Angels came back and won. It was a very good victory for Anaheim. I will give you that.
And I was at the game, so it was made it all that sweeter.
It was all you. It was you're the reason that they did it. That they won.
Hey, you're just lucky you made it to the one they won, dude.
Here's the good thing about baseball: only another 17 months in this season, and then the playoffs. So,
dude, we're only 6 weeks from the All-Star break. I mean, this
and the
season
All-Star
is
break
barreling
is halfway
along.
Through, right?
It's halfway through. That's
yeah.
right.
Wow. Wow.
Well, you better start liking baseball because Stanley Cup's going to be over in about 3 days the way it's going.
Freaking and Stanley Cup.
That's all you'll have.
Playing back-to-back games, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. I've never heard of
What's
that.
What's up with that?
I don't know. What's wrong with them? Must be TV thing or something.
Let's talk to Steve. He's on line 6 calling about a highlight of the MTV Movie Awards. Hey, Steve.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
Hey, I was wondering if you guys watched that last night, the MTV. Did you see Boyd come flying in, one of his characters?
It's Bruno is the character that Sacha Baron Cohen was doing last night, promoting his new movie. And he had on what looked like the old Howard Stern fart man suit with the bare ass cheeks.
Yeah.
And
nice.
Steve, I'll let you tell the room what he did with them.
Well, he came flying in overhead over the crowd, and he looked like he hit some sort of speaker up in the ceiling. And then he came straight down in the lap of Eminem and basically gave him, he put his rear end right in his face when he was wearing like a G-string diaper. The most hilarious thing I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
How was Eminem reacting?
Oh, he was pissed. That guy.
Was he acting though?
I don't know. I hear he's got a short temper anyway, but he got up, his posse, all these guys got up, start pushing him around, and I thought they were going to beat his butt. But
Bean, what do you think? Does it look like he was in on it, or was this?
I think he absolutely was in on it. You know, that's been the chatter, is was it planned or not? I mean, I think they were capitalizing on the fact that he's got that reputation, that short temper, and that this would push his buttons, and they made a big scene out of him getting up with his posse and walking out of the room and followed him with a camera and all that. I think the whole thing was staged. And,
you think
let's face it,
was in on it. You think Eminem was in on it?
Yeah, I absolutely think he was in on it. Now I don't know. It's hard, you know, it's hard to tell until somebody spills the beans. I don't know how much he thought Bruno's ass was going to be right in his face, or if he thought it was going to play out differently than it did. But it was pretty funny. And Sacha Baron Cohen, he always brings it. That guy is genius.
He is genius, yeah.
Yeah, he is. That was excellent. That was excellent.
When does that movie come out, Bruno?
I can tell you. I don't know. But it looks
Bean,
great.
You know everything.
I don't. I mean, you know, it's one of the big summer movies sometime in the next couple of months. Is all
can't
I
wait.
Don't ask Steve. He thought it was Borat, all right? He's,
yeah.
He's out of the loop.
Yeah, I can't wait for that movie. That's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show. We have Kathy Griffin in studio.
Yeah.
Very funny. Mm-hmm. My Life on the D-List is back. Going to talk to her about that.
Okay.
At what point can she not call herself a D-Lister, by the way, after you've won all the Emmys and you got the high-rated TV show that's back for like a fifth season? Hasn't she climbed up the Hollywood ladder a little bit?
Would you say she's a C-minus?
Yeah, I
or
think that's
Or even a
fair.
Solid C.
I think that. A I solid think a C is mm-hmm. fair. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not doesn't have the ring to it for, yeah, for their
right.
name.
You're right.
Life on the solid C-List. Also on today's show, we have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com
mm-hmm.
talking about all the nutty celebrities and some of the stuff that happened over the weekend. We got a very disturbing email from a K-Rock listener named Doto.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
I need to alert the authorities.
Possibly.
Internet roundup for you today. Some very funny stuff. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith, our former sports guy, about the playoffs and all other things sports.
Okay.
A lot of people are saying don't underestimate Orlando. That's, you know, everybody who is looking forward to Lakers-Cleveland Cleveland might have been easier to beat for the Lakers than Orlando will be.
Well, the one thing that I know about the Lakers is they will make any series super difficult. It's kind of their talent. So if they were playing a high school team, they would barely beat them. I don't know why. And also on today's show, we have the grand prize for Blink-182 and Weezer. Talking about the limo and the dressing room, the front row seats. You get a flip phone. You get to go backstage and interview them.
Very cool.
Going to be pretty cool. And we're going to tell you about our latest breakfast with.
Is Major Announcement coming by?
Major Announcement will be stopping by.
I love that dude.
About 7:15, the details on an event I'm sure you'll want to be at because it's going to be fantastic. So that's coming up today as well. We'll take a quick break. And Ralph's got the showbiz beat next.
Our friend Ralph Garman has joined us in studio with our early look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I am drunk.
Drunk?
Yes.
Still?
Yes.
Why were you drinking yesterday?
Went out late last night.
All right.
Stayed out too late.
All
drank
right.
too much.
Excellent.
Woke up this morning, still feeling the effects. So,
special
suck
occasion?
On that, America.
Special occasion or just hanging with your
you
homies?
Know, it's May Day.
It's June.
June Day.
Right. So you're not hungover.
Nope.
Still
That'll
drunk.
Come this afternoon, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'm reckoning. So take it with a grain of salt. Everything I say is influenced by alcohol.
Do you need somebody to go on a run? Get some more?
Some more booze?
Keep you going?
That might be a good idea.
Okay.
I don't want to crash mid-show.
We don't know that
happens. Bad things will happen.
That's correct.
So I'm enjoying my Monday morning.
Okay, so take what Ralph says with a grain of salt.
Monday afternoon, I'm not going to enjoy so much. But this morning, good times.
We should come up with a bunch of characters for Ralph today. He could do David Hasselhoff. He'd be great at that. He'd do George Bush. A lot of characters he'd be ideal for this morning.
White House.
How far is the hotel from the station?
So I'll be asking in about 2 hours.
I've always said, and this is, I've been on the outskirts of the entertainment industry now for a couple of years. I've seen a lot of things. I've always said America loves movies about old dudes who strap balloons to their house.
I've heard you say that many times. Yeah.
It is America's most favorite genre, I believe.
I've never heard that.
Oh, well, it turns out Up from Pixar and Disney made $69 million this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's a cartoon about a dude with balloons on his house.
That's pretty amazing.
America ate it up.
How much do you think people wanted to see the movie, and how much do you think Pixar gets the benefit of the doubt because they've done so much good stuff?
Both.
Yeah.
I think the buzz on this has been especially strong. People saying it's a very charming movie on top of being well done.
How much money?
69.
Oh, all right.
Thank you, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
Night at the Museum, Battle for the Smithsonian, continues to do very well for itself. A little over $25 million, made it number two. Drag Me to Hell, in its debut weekend, made a little over $16 million, good enough to make it number three. Then Terminator Salvation, Star Trek, Angels and Demons, Dance Flick, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and Obsessed, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Case of another celebrity tweeting while in labor, murder button.
Really?
Yeah, Kimora Lee Simmons, Lisa, who
Hey.
She's a former murder fashion model, has her own show there on the Style Network. Upskirt with Kimura, whatever it's called.
I don't think that's the name of it. She's very hateable, by the way.
She's a horrible, horrible human being. Yeah. She had her third child.
Oh, no.
This weekend, her first with actor Jamin Hunsu.
Hey!
And she was Twittering during labor.
Saying what, Al?
It's time. No turning back. At hospital in labor right now. Listen to me. This is probably, obviously, one of the three most important moments of your life. If you got three kids, what are you doing?
They can't put the damn thing down anymore.
How much of a look at me do you have going on if you're focusing on trying to publicize yourself while you're in labor with your child?
That's really sad. That seems extreme.
The murder button has never been more appropriate than
murder.
You with me, people?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's just wrong.
I like no turning back, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Like it's bungee jumping or something.
If she had a week, she could somehow become unpregnant. Well, I guess she could. But then the doctor would be shot.
Yeah.
See that?
Man, yeah.
The abortion doctor killed her? Oh, my goodness.
In church.
I thought life was sacred and precious to those people, though.
Not if you're an adult. Only if you're a fetus. Adults are fair game.
Yeah. Okay.
Angelina Jolie apparently injured slightly while filming her latest movie, Salt.
No!
Yeah, on location in New York City.
Sorry, can I hear that one more time, Dean?
No!
High quality.
It's the great Ed Wynn.
Yeah.
Super good quality right there, though.
Did you record it off an old UHF television station with a wire recording device?
All he says is no, and you can barely understand it.
No!
She was injured on location in New York City while filming her new movie, Salt. Apparently, she had a minor bump to her head, although doctors insisted on giving her a full pelvic exam.
Really?
I can't understand.
That's odd.
A little scratch, apparently, between her eyes. That's where she hit herself, and she's back on set. Apparently, no major injury, but...
Wait a minute! Don't get excited!
Everyone was all on Twitter.
Nope.
It's on, like Donkey Kong, between Clay Aiken and Adam Lambert.
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
They gonna have a dance off.
You know, Clay Aiken slammed Adam's performance of a Ring of Fire on American Idol and saying, you know, it was better back in my day, and there are no real American Idol contestants anymore, and blah blah blah.
Wow.
Clay Aiken's a former champ, right? And then this year was former runner up,
second place.
Oh, he didn't win.
That was the year Ruben Studdard won.
And then this year, Adam Lambert second place.
Right.
Okay.
But Clay Aiken just talking smack about him really out of nowhere.
Yeah, because Clay Aiken's done so much. Does he have a career?
Well, I mean, he's cooled off, definitely. But, I mean, he regardless of the fact that whether or not Clay sold millions of records, it's just uncool for him to say Adam Lambert is not talented, because clearly he is.
So Adam came back and told Access Hollywood that he doesn't know Clay, but he's actually happy that he made the comment. Adam says, as far as he knows, no one was talking about Clay, and he's welcome to ride his coattails. And if that helps people have attention for Clay, then he's more than welcome to give it to him.
Nice.
So that was kind of
way to handle that.
It is on. It is so on.
You know that famous line from Robert De Niro's movie Taxi Driver?
Yeah.
You talking to me? You talking to me? I don't see anybody else around. You must be talking to me. That line?
Sure.
Yep.
Stole it.
Who stole it?
Robert De Niro.
Oh.
From who?
The line forever was said to be an improvisation on behalf of Robert De Niro's part. Marty Scorsese was just rolling the camera and said, just do something into the mirror, and that's what he came up with. And everybody said, what a brilliant improvisation. Turns out he stole it.
From?
Bruce Springsteen.
No!
What?
Yeah. Clarence Clemons has a new autobiography and said that while he was teaching De Niro to play saxophone for the movie New York, New York, he confessed to Clarence that he stole that from Springsteen, because Springsteen on stage in the early days, when this crowd would go, Bruce! Springsteen on stage would turn to him and go, are you talking to me? And De Niro saw him in concert and stole that line and used it in Taxi Driver.
How about that?
He is a bitch.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying about Robert De Niro. So now you know the rest of the story. It's true. Susan Boyle, you know that hideous woman from England who sings real good?
Subo? She can sing, yeah. Oh, stop.
He's been doing that all day, by the way.
Subo.
You know what the tabloids call her in England?
What?
The Hairy Angel. That's how they refer to her.
That poor thing.
Isn't that nice? The Hairy Angel.
I refer to a part of my body the same thing. Isn't that interesting? She finished in second place Saturday night on the finale of Britain's Got Talent.
Clay
Aiken's going to come after her now.
She was beat out by a dance troupe called Diversity. took first place and the grand prize. And Susan apparently had a breakdown afterwards, suffered an emotional breakdown, and had to be rushed to a clinic in London because she lost her nut when she lost.
She had a nut?
Yeah. Here's the thing. The problem with someone who comes out of obscurity like her, who's 47 and a virgin, has lived in a church her whole life and gets all that attention, you can imagine how it twists your gourd a little bit towards the end. And she wigged out when she didn't win, which is kind of sad.
Yeah,
because the hairy angel now has a broken wing. It is sad.
Is this this is the classic debate? But is it the worst thing that ever happened to her that she went on the show? Would she have been happier staying in her old life, or should she always look back at the good times that she got from this?
Ah, that is the age old debate, Bean. I guess we'll have to wait to see.
100% depends on the hairy angel.
That's true.
How she looks at it.
I gave her the hairy angel the other night. You know what that means. And Forbes magazine has released an interesting list of the top earning models over the past year.
Okay.
You'd be surprised. A lot of these names I don't even recognize, so I won't bore you with the entire
Michael
list.
Michael make gasping.
Yeah, Michael know each and every one of them, of course, by heart. But the highlights for me, Miranda Kerr.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number ninth on the list with $3 million she made over the past year.
She's Victoria's Secret, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Alessandro Ambrosio.
Oh!
$6 million over the past year. Adriana Lima,
yeah.
Or Adriana Lima, depending on how you pronounce her name. Fourth on the list with $8 million. Kate Moss made $8.5 million at number three. Heidi Klum was second on the list with $16 million. And the number one earner in the world of modeling, Gisele Bündchen, made $25 million over the past year.
And what's that? I mean, I can see the Heidi Klum money because she's a television host and she's got a lot of projects and stuff going on. But what does Gisele Bündchen do besides get pictures taken? Does she
Maybe
do anything
she's
else?
She's got some endorsement deals.
Yeah, I think she works for one of the major cosmetic lines or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
Still,
that's
pretty
that's
good coins. I'm going to get into that. That modeling.
Yeah, supermodel. Made
there. Yeah, I should be a supermodel.
Am I the only one that thinks Kate Moss is not only not attractive, but unattractive?
I agree with you, sir.
I agree, and she's I don't know hideous. How she's still making that
she's
much money.
Anti-attractive.
And now
it.
She's not only ugly, she's old. How can she still be making $8.5 million a year as a model?
And didn't most everyone drop her? Like Chanel, I think, dropped her and some other...
When the video when the video was released of her doing blow in that recording studio. Yeah. I'm going to get into modeling, and I'm going to model off my hairy angel. That's what I'm going to do.
Wow. Good luck with that.
I'm going to get on the runway and show my hairy angel.
How many people want to see
you
that?
You go, sister.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Andy Griffith. You know old Andy Griffith from the Andy Griffith Show and Matlock and all those shows?
God, sure. He's got to be really old.
83 years old, Lisa.
Wow. Still alive?
Still alive. How about that? Morgan Freeman, very talented actor, is 72 years old today. Simon Gallup of The Cure turns 49 years old. Actress Terry Polo from Meet the Parents and other films is 40. Speaking of models, Heidi Klum celebrates her 36th birthday today. And singer Alanis Morissette turns 35. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com. Go to the Kevin and Bean page, and there is a place called Internet Roundup. There's a ton of good stuff on there. If you haven't seen the Slap Chop remix, it's fantastic. If you haven't seen Andy Samberg and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Singing for Mother's Day, it's fantastic. Adam West's Batman Yard Sale, the Keyboard Cat, the amputee MMA fighter. It's unbelievable to watch that guy move around the ring on his hands.
Shouldn't somebody – look, I appreciate the guy's got a disability and he wants to overcome it, but shouldn't somebody have sat him down and really tried to talk him out of that line of work? Doesn't it just seem like MMA fighter is not where you want to go if you've got no hands and feet?
You'd think.
Yeah,
wouldn't
right?
be your first choice,
you don't
probably.
Need to climb Mount Everest. You don't need to be an MMA fighter
right.
either.
Right.
And also there's something called Good Morning Megan Fox that perhaps you would want to check out because perhaps it's maybe the best thing ever that's ever been on the Internet, perhaps.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about a few of the new ones that we put up. Travis Barker, of course, one of our favorite people of all time. He's the best. He is a drummer extraordinaire.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was young, it looks in this video like he was, I'm going to say, 7. He was playing drums in a band, and they were doing a cover of I Think We're Alone Now, the old song by Tiffany.
Okay.
That old pop song. When was that? Being 80?
Well, Tiffany's version, yeah, was in the late 80s, and of course it was a remake even back when she did it, but I think Travis said that this video was from 1995, so you do the math and figure out how old he was, but he does look very, very young playing drums.
Cause you seem to be the only one around here.
He has always been the most hyper drummer.
Yes.
You just watch him and you go, you know, human beings can't move that fast.
Yeah.
Usually you would have to videotape it and then speed it up to get the speed with which he drums. I don't know how he does it. But.
And isn't the amazing thing about Travis, and we talked about this after the Weenie Roast a couple of weeks ago, is he saves all of the energy in his life for when he's behind the drum kit. Because if you ever hang out with him when he's not playing music, yep. he's the mellowest dude in the world.
Super mellow. Just saving up
himself.
Saving up all of his energy for when he plays the drums. Other than that, he's just laid back and cool and easygoing and never raises his voice and just the coolest guy in the world. The next one is Cam. I'm not sure how to say his last name. Gigante?
I think so.
Who is in Twilight, and there's a group of Twilight fans that are meeting, and he walks by, and they see him.
You guys, it's James. James!
I'm not James from Twilight. My name's Cam Gigante. I just played him in a movie.
Don't let him escape!
Why did you try to kill Edward, James?
Okay. I think you guys got the wrong idea about me. All right, I'm not James. I'm an actor.
That sounds like something James would say.
Look, I understand that you guys like Twilight, okay? But it's just a movie. I mean, I'm not really a vampire. So please, just leave me alone.
Oh. Yeah! That was for Edward.
And they beat him up.
Look, I didn't go see the Twilight movie, but I hope he acts better in that than he does in this.
No, it didn't sound good.
That was awful.
I didn't see it either, but I agree. That was maybe not the best performance that he's ever given. And then there's Queen, the celebrity protector.
Oh, Queen.
Queen.
Queen with a U.
Yes.
With
a W, isn't it?
It's a U and a W, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
It's Q-U-W-E-E-N, I think. She looks like a homeless woman. Did we determine that she was or wasn't?
I think she is, yeah.
Down on Hollywood Boulevard, and apparently she was protecting Catherine McPhee. A bunch of photographers got around her, and she kind of feels like she feels sorry for the celebrity, so she steps in and protects them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this isn't the first time she's done it.
First time. She's on the side of the celebrities, and she tries to make sure they're safe, which is really bizarre. So the website Funny or Die, which, of course, is the Will Ferrell thing. We have Will Ferrell on the program tomorrow, by the way. They did a thing where Catherine McPhee does a commercial for the celebrity protector, and it's this woman, Queen. And she says, you know, I was down there, I got in a lot of trouble, and listen to this woman, the Queen, who is real.
She's not just an eccentric local. She's a fully licensed celebrity protector who's helped dozens of people like me.
Thanks, Captain. You know how I love helping famous people get out of a tough situation. If you're an A to a K level celebrity with a paparazzi problem, I can help.
Paparazzi? By which she means paparazzi.
Queen Celebrity Protection Service will help you with pushing past paparazzi as you exit a Starbucks. Avoid TMZ when you're at the mall, the doctor's office, the dentist. Harvey Levins, I'm coming to get you.
She kicks at the screen at Harvey Levins.
If there's a bee flying near you, I will put my boot in that bee's ass. Running late for a meeting, I'll yell at the clock till things get right. Coffee too hot, I'll blow on that shit up, you heard me? And so much more, right? We don't want that shit, right? We want to kick their ass, right?
And Queen, what's your one rule?
I don't kiss ass, I kick ass. Ask Larry King.
Once I began working with Queen, I...
Ask Larry King.
I saw results instantly. The photographers were more polite. The safety of myself and those around me increased dramatically. And that's not all. I also...
Oh, hell no, words and letters. Hell no, I said letters and words. Hell no, letters and words. Hell no.
So they put up words on the screen that said, you know, call now or whatever. And she's very upset about the words on the screen, so she beats them up. The letters all get jumbled.
No, Queen, it's okay. Like, this is part of it. This is...
You okay?
Yeah, this is part of making a commercial.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. As long as you're okay, you better watch your back, Alpha Bits.
She's really funny.
I wonder if she's real. I mean, with Funny or Die, you can never tell if she's just an actress that they hired to play this role. But,
that's
man,
true.
She's good.
She is good. Well, you can find all that at Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup. And we'll take a quick break and come back with that Harvey Levins from TMZ.com.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
How disgusting.
I was dying.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
Well, you had to see it to know how outrageous it was.
Sure.
All right, it's Kevin DeBean Show. It's Monday morning. More than 10 million unique visitors a month to TMZ.com. They're all there to see what Harvey Levin is going to put up next. Harvey joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Harv, how are you, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good.
How was, hey, how was your weekend? Do anything fun?
It was okay.
It's so funny because everybody always thinks about you as being, you know, the Hollywood mover and shaker and player, but you very rarely go to anything. I mean, we saw you at that Laker game a couple weeks ago, but something like the MTV Movie Awards, you wouldn't have any interest in being at something like that, even though you could, right?
Well, yeah, it's just not me.
Not your thing.
I didn't sign up for all that stuff when I did this.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to, I imagine. There's just a lot of people look at that and say, oh, I sure would like to go to that. But if you go to everything, I guess it loses its interest
a
bit.
Yeah. Especially those awards.
Yeah.
Okay, Harvey, what do you got up on the site right now that you love?
Do we always have to psychoanalyze on Monday morning?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think about you over the weekend, Harvey.
Do you really?
I do. I always go, because I always think how unbelievably busy you are. And then I think, I wonder what he does when he's not. Like, when he can do something else, what does Harvey do? Because it seems like you're working all the time.
But relaxing trumps everything.
Yeah.
I guess doing nothing.
Do you tweet while you relax at least?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, I mean, you know, I worked yesterday. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there is.
Yesterday was like a busy weekday.
Well, what's the biggest thing that happened? Was it the
Bruno thing?
No. I mean, I'm talking about this whole... Did you see this Billy Bob story? I mean, that was just
horrible.
Yeah, that's
awful.
That's pretty rough.
Really awful. You know, the just to give you a headline on it.
Yeah,
Billy Bob's daughter, one of his daughters, was charged in the death of a baby that she was babysitting. And it's a really weird story, but what she said, the police just didn't believe. And it was this kind of thing where she says the baby was playful, there was a little blood, but the baby was okay, and she went to sleep, and when she woke up, the police didn't buy the story.
Okay.
And there was some kind of blunt force to the baby. And,
oh, no.
Yeah, no. So it's. Oh. It really
and she was
sad.
Babysitting?
Yeah, yeah, it's really a sad story.
I'd never even heard of her before, but I guess with Billy Bob, who knows how many kids that dude has.
True.
You know, it's interesting because we started checking on her, and when she was arrested, nobody knew anything, and we got a tip and we checked it out. It was hard figuring out that it was Billy Bob's daughter, but about 8 years ago, she did an interview saying that she just felt awful, that Billy Bob kind of abandoned her and ignored her, and that's what she was saying. So, you know, she kind of like dropped off the radar, and it took some work to find out that it was.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, tonight on NBC is the debut of one of their summer replacement series, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. And how are you covering this so well so far, Harvey? Do you have spies in the Costa Rican jungle, or what's the deal?
We have a Costa Rican jungle bureau, actually.
They actually have to run it by Harvey before they do it.
Yeah, we actually have we have monkeys with little cameras on them with banana cam.
So Heidi and Spencer are there, and they've already quit twice.
Well, that's what they say. I mean, let's get real.
That's what who says, the show or Heidi and Spencer?
That's what Heidi and Spencer say. Okay. That they couldn't stand it, and they got up and they left the jungle, and then they came back, and then they left the jungle again
twice in the first 2 days. By the way.
Twice in the first 2 days, so I think it's all BS. I think they're doing it as a stunt, but you never know. I mean, you know, you can't jump into their heads.
I sure wouldn't want to.
They do everything as a stunt. There's nothing they don't do that's a stunt.
I know, but I just think it's so funny because it's like the thing they love the most is like going to Cut in Wolfgang Puck's restaurant.
Right.
And I just think it's, you know, the only thing that's real about them really trying to get out of the jungle is it's like, no, it's like they're so pampered.
Right, yeah.
It's like they're looking for a restaurant and they're just stunned.
But with them, you really do get the idea that nothing that you see is real.
Yeah.
Right, and I think that's what's going to be interesting about this show, whether people are going to buy into it or not. There's this thing where they told us that Blagojevich's wife almost drowned or something, so I don't know. I mean, too bad Blagojevich wasn't there.
Yeah, no kidding. Too bad he didn't drown.
Isn't Janice Dickinson on this show, too?
Janice Dickinson's on the show because we got her getting her nails done right before she left.
They're out-dramatizing Janice Dickinson. That's amazing.
Yeah, it does take a lot.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing I could think is that they had to be out of touch for a few days because they had to fly to Costa Rica and start working on the show. And they thought, hey, we're not on TV until Monday night. What can we do to get headlines between now and when the show debuts? Hey, let's put out a press release that we quit.
Yeah.
So they just can't bear to not be have shows like ours and sites like yours talking about them for a couple of days, I guess.
That's right.
All right, last question you posted this morning, and I didn't really understand how this is possible, Harvey, but where's the Octomom getting the money to buy a new house?
Octomom? You're kidding me, right?
No, that's the old story, right? That she...
Well, yeah, that's the house she bought. But are you really questioning whether she's gotten a lot of money?
Well, I got the impression that nobody wanted to put her on TV, and all the people that originally
said,
going to start giving her lots of money for lots of stuff.
No. She made in the first round, she made way over $1 million. $1 million. Like, way.
Wow.
The rumor is one outlet got paid her $1 million.
Would that be Dr. Phil?
Just a whole bunch. I mean, there's one in particular, but I don't know that it's him specifically.
Okay.
But there was one deal, we're told, that was $1 million.
Wow.
But there is a production company, we put this up over the weekend, that a production company just did sign her, and they are shopping a reality show for her. And I think, because of the success of John and Kate, that it probably has given her show or the possibility of her show new life. I mean, John and Kate is a huge hit.
It is, yeah.
Monster hit, yeah.
And you know, it does revolve around 8 babies. So it does fit the profile.
Yeah. I guess I just figured with the amount of expenses you would have to run that household with all the people and everything, that she probably would have burned through a lot of that initial money. And I was wondering what she was doing since then. But you say okay for now.
Totally. But the big story is that Octomom is not bailing Octograndma out.
That's
the grandma's house, which was in foreclosure, is going on the auction block today at 11 o'clock. And Octomom didn't pay it off.
And this is the home that Octomom was raised in?
This was the home that the grandmother owned,
right,
that Octomom was living in.
Right.
But they're so far in debt, they may just want to walk away from it, and they may buy a new Octo house for everybody. I don't know.
How about that? All right, you can get the latest on that development and everything else unfolding on TMZ.com. Check your local listings for the TMZ television show as well. Harvey, we know you got to get your meeting, man, but thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Good talking to you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Let's read a disturbing email.
Ugh. Yes, okay.
This is troubling. We have a K-Rock listener named Doto, and we can't figure him out. We're hoping for the best. He says things that scare us. We're hoping that it's not true, but every once in a while he sends an email, and then it makes the rounds here, and we all go, oh, dear God.
Here's the thing about Doto, by the way, is that most of his emails are just nonsensical. Every once in a while he says something that has kind of a dark underside, and we think about the time that Psycho Mike went to his house and had this exchange.
What are in these bags here? It looks like you're hiding something.
It's not.
It's not? You mind if we go through these?
No.
What is this here?
Nothing.
Why'd you tuck away some knives behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
You don't know whose that is? Just randomly in your house?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, keeping that in mind, now here's the email that, of all people, Lisa May got over the weekend.
Yeah. Why would he send this to me?
I don't know. Because he normally emails Bean.
Mike sometimes.
Yeah. He recognizes crazy.
And out of the blue.
Equals crazy.
He's been consistently emailing Bean and I, and he continued to do so even recently, but they've mostly been, are we really friends? People, I've been questioning our friendship, stuff like that. Pretty normal, kind of not non-threatening stuff. And out of the blue, this one comes to Lisa. Lisa, if someone made fun of me because disability, I plan to take their life. According to state federal law, I cannot go to prison. Instead, I will get special treatment. Am I correct? For example, 25 years to life. Since I have learning disability, there's no way in hell what will go prison for 25 years, because in society, disabled people get special treatment and privileges are my right. D.
Okay, here's the thing that I'm going to say, and I had to learn this the hard way, is you don't put anything down on paper that gives the prosecutor something to point to as making the crime premeditated.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
He really was questioning. He has learning disabilities, and if people make fun of him, he wants to know if he can kill him, and then what'll happen to him. It won't be so extreme, right? He's looking to Lisa for some kind of
support,
some kind of legal guidance.
And this is a theme of his. He sent out emails like this in the past.
Yeah.
Basically suggesting that he could get away with murder.
Right. Cool. So then we write back to him. We go, dude, you're seriously, this is ridiculous. You're not thinking about that. Tell me you're exaggerating. All that stuff.
Every time he sends one of these emails, I think that he loves watching TV, and I think he comes across one of these like Datelines or a 2020 where they investigate a case where a guy gets off murder because he was sleepwalking, or he had ADD, mm-hmm, or he ate too many Twinkies, or one of these really outlandish defenses. And I think he gets it in his head that maybe if he lets people know that he has an IQ of like 40, it doesn't matter that he can kill people. He can just go around murdering.
But I don't want to get dragged into this. And here's what I'm going to say to Doto. How about a little less emailing Lisa May and a little more calling the fine attorneys at Dose, all right?
That's a good point.
Yeah, we're not exactly attorneys, and we don't know what to do with this. We hope. See, here's what we think. We think he crazy.
And don't kill anyone is the other thing that we think, well, by the way. Maybe even ahead of he crazy.
No, of course, don't kill anyone. But what I'm saying is it's all a thing in his head. He goes through, has these thoughts. He's
probably
who follows through less than this guy?
Probably that's true.
I would like that to be true.
All right, Doto, you had a question for me?
You know, does it ring a bell being she's Chinese but born in Japan?
I don't know what you're talking
Remember
about.
Remember when Psycho Mike found the drawer full of hundreds of panties in his room?
Yes.
Remember that?
Why did I just stumble upon a collection of hundreds of pairs of women's panties?
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, Mike was standing with him next to the drawer holding the panties. So there's only one thing that we know for sure, and that's that he knows what he's talking about.
Yes.
That's the only thing we know for sure. Where they came from or whatever, we don't know, but that's not a good sign,
so
right?
We're learning denial doesn't really mean much when it comes to Doto.
Right. Now, he also sent one time when he was in the Orient, something about somebody slipped drugs in his suitcase, and he might serve life in prison.
Right.
Didn't he also say that he hit someone over the head?
He sent me the one when he was in Bali. He sent me an email saying that he waited in a guy's bushes, and in his own words, I quote, "When he arrived, I hit him with large object, head bleed. I think dead. Doe."
Yeah.
Right. Now,
we've
met Doe on a lot of occasions, and we all think he's just out of his mind, and he's got this wild imagination. Of course, we're not positive, but that's our conclusion.
But here's the thing about the International Man of Mystery. And again, we're talking about our listener, Doto, that we've talked about on the show many times. He's most of the time traveling the Orient. Most of the time, we can never even get a hold of him because he's in Japan or Thailand or Vietnam or something like that. But when we do make communication with him, we still don't have any idea what he's saying. I mean, like, Lisa writes back to Doto after that very disturbing email and says, "Hey, we'd like to talk to you on the show." Or, "Hey, can you come in?" No response.
Yeah, no, I wrote back.
It's
I have
one
some
way.
Thoughts, Doto, about this.
You have some thoughts.
I have some thoughts, and we'd like to talk to you on the air, and we can discuss this. I didn't even say don't do it, or you must be kidding. I was just like, let's talk about this, and I got no response to that.
You don't hear anything.
But then, we get a response?
And then yesterday, this came.
Lisa. Oh. Hope disregard my question. Had bad day. Act like jerk. Sorry, no bad intention at all, Doe.
See,
so I don't
obviously
know.
That
well,
didn't
that's
happen.
Denial. No, that's denial. And we know that doesn't necessarily mean anything with Doto.
Look, okay, for those of you who have seen the Doto Cribs where I went to his home, I know it looks crazy and like he was acting and I was making this up, I did find a bag of knives.
Of knives, yeah.
Right.
Okay, a big bag of knives behind his air conditioner vent hidden. And I say, Doto, what is this bag of knives? And his response was, it's not.
It's not, yeah.
And I'm holding it to his face.
We'll move that video to the front page of Kevin and Bean so that people can see it again if they want to watch it. But, when he says it's not, then you go, okay, well,
now,
do you really
think
it's not? Or you're just denying because?
Lightning didn't include this part of the video because he was concerned about legal reasons. But I found like 1,000 pills. Like black market pills and serums of sorts.
Did you know what they were?
What?
They were like painkillers and stuff in his refrigerator. Dude. And I go, Doe, what are all these black market prescriptions? Nope. I don't know.
A yes or no question.
Why do you have all this black market medication? And he said, I don't. And I say, look at this refrigerator, Doto. I'm holding the door open. Look at them. You can see them, right? I don't know what that is. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Wow. Wow.
So I think his dad's like a Asian mafia kingpin, and he just puts Doto in that home to like to cover up and bury stuff. And there's probably bodies and money and opium in
You're
the
joking,
backyard.
Right?
Here's
what he told us.
Doto's not the type of guy that should be living alone.
Agreed.
And he does. And his parents live just in Orange County. He lives in Orange County. His parents live in Orange County as well, but in a different home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they just bought this house for Doto to squat on. Like, it's creepy.
Yeah, it's not good. That's not good.
He's always traveling at best.
He's always traveling the Orient to do business with his father. And every time we talk to Doto, his dad has a different business. Have you ever noticed that?
Well, yeah. He's always on the road. And we say, who can afford to travel the Orient like you do? He doesn't even have a job. Who can Who could do that? So apparently his dad does. And and that one time, remember, he told us that his dad was setting up schools in the Orient.
Yeah.
And that Doto was teaching English.
Yes.
Remember that?
Okay, now you know that's
hope's
not
durable.
True.
No possible way is that happening. So we don't know what's going on, but we're trying to get Doto on the show. And that is usually about a two-month process.
Yep. Right, exactly.
He'll write to us, and Lisa will write very succinctly right back. We want to talk to you on the air. And he'll write back something completely unrelated.
Yeah.
I'm Hong Kong. That's what he'll write.
That's what he'll write, yeah. So we'll try and get Doe. If you're listening, we'd like you to come on the show.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
Very concerned here at the Kevin and Bean Show that this could be our last Independence Day with our Kevin, Ralph.
Stop
I don't
it.
Know if you heard. He's already plotting this year's fireworks.
Yeah. Off-air topic. Sorry.
I heard that.
I'm
going to
circulate a little memo to
off-air
his neighbors.
Topic. Not
so
for on the air.
Can, get a heads up.
This is not for on the air. This is for off the air.
Kevin, why don't you just move to Palestine or Israel and just throw bombs? I mean, clearly that's what you're working up to.
That's my summer job.
Belfast?
There's a lot of, yeah, a lot of openings for a guy like you.
Would I throw bombs if I went to Palestine? Do you throw them?
You can,
okay.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
You throw
or
them at
go,
the queen with a U.
Or go go work on a Transformers or Terminator-type movie and be a special effects guy.
I would love that.
Blows stuff up.
That's
where you need to be. Look, you're not you're wasting your best ability, by the way.
I love fire and I love explosions. Those are my two things. I'm in.
Exactly.
It is really what you're best at.
Thank you.
It's 6:53. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. Still drunk or starting to get hungover? How are you feeling right now?
I am on the tail end of drunk, just crossing the threshold into hangover.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, that's a bad place to be.
Yeah, we professional drinkers call that the twilight stage.
Twilight.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we're heading towards the dawn of hangover, which is
don't we have any Guinness in the office or something you can use? Or
we do, but I got things to do today, so I might just have to power through being hungover and just sort of get there and live with it, and you know,
okay,
get my just desserts.
Good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah, it sucks. It's hard when work and your life gets in the way of your drinking.
Oh, I know.
It's very.
You gotta have priorities, man.
It's very dissatisfying. All right, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Up. In its debut, huge opening weekend, $69 million made it at the box office.
69.
Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian was number two. Drag Me to Hell came in at number three in its debut weekend, making a little over $16 million. Terminator Salvation was number four, then Star Trek, Angels and Demons, Dance Flick, X-Men Origins, Wolverine, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and Obsessed, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, I had a chance to attend the world premiere of Land of the Lost on Saturday.
What?
Yes!
Saw our buddy Will Ferrell, who sends his best. He'll be coming by the show tomorrow to talk about the movie. Wildly entertaining movie.
Awesome.
So
much
exciting.
More action-adventure than comedy, I found. Which
really?
They're really not selling that in the trailers. I mean, understandably, if you have Will Ferrell, you want to sell the funny parts. And there are plenty of funny parts in it, but it's really sort of a big, fun, big budget, big special effects action-adventure movie. Too.
Can't wait.
So there's a lot of that going on. It was very entertaining. I really enjoyed it. Talk more about that tomorrow, but I was thinking of that because there's news that Danny McBride, who's also one of the stars of Land of the Lost, has a new movie. He will be co-starring with Natalie Portman.
Wow.
In a movie called Your Highness, in which he plays an arrogant, lazy prince of a country, and he and his brother James Franco have to save the kingdom, and Natalie Portman apparently is a warrior princess that fights alongside of them. Sounds like another big budget comedy action film. So
I love Danny McBride. He's funny.
Pretty good cast. He's great in Land of the Lost as well. Halle Berry has a new movie, which I cannot get behind.
Can't.
This is the type of movie that will cause ripples in our society that I think we cannot absorb.
Really?
Oh, that's not good.
It is called The Surrogate.
Yeah.
It is about a smoking hot woman who hires another woman to carry her baby for her.
Right.
Only
okay.
She finds out the surrogate is insane once the baby's implanted inside of her.
She's crazy.
Yes. We do not want to do anything that discourages hot women from using surrogates to carry their babies.
Ralph's been suggesting that for a long time. That needs to be status quo.
We don't want this to be sort of the fatal attraction was to cheating. Remember that? Guys were afraid to cheat because they didn't want the fatal attraction like Glenn Close to ruin their lives. Scared a lot of guys off from cheating. Mm-hmm. We don't want that to happen with surrogacy. So this movie needs to be snuffed out. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyone? Anyone?
Sounds funny.
I think I'm with you. Yeah.
Okay.
Funny.
Speaking of which,
Bean is backing you.
Things that we have to discourage. Did you hear about that 17-year-old tennis player?
who's getting the breast reduction?
It's all Bean's been talking about off the air.
Oh, she's the best person in the world ever.
Easy.
Yeah,
I'm just saying. She's 17. She's got 34 double Ds.
Yeah,
and she wants to get them reduced for tennis. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Didn't she just
your
win?
Boobs
she just
are going to get you a lot Nothing. Further in life than your tennis career.
I think she
Little
won
Simona
the,
Halep.
I think she won the French Junior Open, I think is what
Whatever,
she won.
Whatever, the BS yeah. Open.
So she has a little talent.
She needs to
perhaps.
Open her shirt. That's what she needs to open. That's all she needs to open. Open your bra. That's all you need to worry about.
The pictures are ridiculous of her playing tennis. And by the way,
spectacular.
Not that I spent a lot of time on YouTube this weekend, but there's plenty of videos of her playing tennis, too.
Ooh. See, Bean has to put his stink
he
all
does.
Over
He's,
everything.
I'm saying the
right
same
up.
Thing you're saying.
Yeah, I know, but it's not the same. It doesn't come out the same.
Really doesn't.
No. It's bad.
You can't play with the rest of us, Bean.
Really, you can't. You can't play in our reindeer games anymore. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Pat Boone.
Yeah!
Pat Boone.
Legendary, squeaky, clean singer of songs, Pat Boone. Is 75 years old today, and the only reason I bring up this birthday, most people don't know who Pat Boone is, but he is a famous sort of very Christian, very squeaky clean fella. Owns a radio station, or did own a television station down in Orange County.
Right.
I don't know if he still does or not. But I just remember being saying on his station that he was going to do bad things to his daughter. That's all I remember.
We did get banned from ever being on that station again by Pat Boone.
Yes, the guy who owned the station.
Because of really?
Bean. Yeah. That happened.
I don't know.
Bean his daughter around. was a singer at one time, too, famous singer, and I just thought she was super hot. I always wanted to besmirch her, and that was apparently inappropriate to say on the man's TV station.
Yeah. Dude didn't like it when he talked about sullying his daughter on his TV show.
Literally said, never allow them back on this channel again.
That was magic. Morgan Freeman, very talented actor, 72 years old today. Legendary guitarist Ron Wood of the Rolling Stone, and he was in the Faces, too. Wasn't he in the Faces?
Uh-huh. Same guy. Oh.
62 years old today. Yeah, look at that. We're looking at pictures of the tennis player now.
Yeah.
Look at them.
See what I'm saying?
I mean, look at her. She looks talented. Terry Polo from Meet the Parents is 40 years old today. Bassist Simon Gallup of The Cure celebrates his 49th birthday. Supermodel Heidi Klum is 36. And singer Alanis Morissette celebrates her 35th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I got Will Ferrell tomorrow morning talking about Land of the Lost. Very excited about that. And we got some Kathy Griffin coming up today. We got Matt Money Smith, former sports guy, coming up talking about, I don't know, the Lakers and the championship moving on to the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Very excited about that. Glad they didn't have to play a game 7. Get a little rest. Thursday night is game 1 against Orlando. But first, you've been qualifying for this Blink 182 Green Day thing for about a week. And the grand prize drawing is something that we're going to do right now. So let's make a call, Mike.
All right.
Dial that number.
So you qualified and this is the moment where you find out whether you get to go backstage with both bands, get a dressing room, get a video camera, tape an interview, put it up at KRock.com, the whole deal.
Not a bad prize.
You can hang with me. I'll sing you a song on your camera.
Why don't you sing to the winner? Let them know that they've won the grand prize.
Monique Lopez. Say hello to Tom DeLonge.
Sure is just friggin'.
No, it's always good radio when we call the winner.
Your message for 3-2.
All right.
And my favorite part is when you win, we say, hey, where will you be Monday morning at 7:10? Because that's where we need to call you.
To send a numeric page, press 5. When you are finished recording,
just let us record, bitch.
For delivery options,
nobody ever does any of that stuff.
What is this trend where it takes 30 minutes to get to be able to leave?
Monique Lopez, it's Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. You're the Blink 182 Bonanza winner. You get 2 front row seats, 2 backstage passes, a limo to the show, a flip video camera, and get to hang out with me and the rest of the band. And we'll talk about space and angels and things of mystic lands unknown.
And magic.
And more magic, according to Kevin. That's really cool.
All right, Tom. Thank you, Tom. Limo to the show, dressing room, backstage, front row seats. You get to interview the bands. We put those interviews up at KRock.com. So thanks a lot for winning.
I already said that. Why are you repeating things that I sang on my song?
I didn't know if she spoke Tom. I wasn't sure if the translation went through. That's all, Tom.
But thanks for listening.
And thanks for listening to the world famous K-Rock and the Kevin and Bean Show. Yeah, the moon, orbit, and rings of Saturn.
This is all going on our answering machine, by the way.
And heaven.
It hasn't cut us off yet.
Is the plan to keep talking until somehow she picks up?
And demons of things that are evil and human spirit from medieval knights riding on a unicorn with the clouds around them.
By the way, when the real Tom DeLonge was at our studio last week, Psycho Mike, you didn't have any of this to say, did you?
Oh, you are such a dick.
He did, but Tom did not seem to enjoy it as much as we do.
He didn't enjoy it. He doesn't feel that he sounds like this, but I feel that this is a pretty spot-on impersonation. And the cosmos will align with the solstice when time comes around. Are you a Virgo? Because you act like one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. Wait.
Did you have
message canceled?
It said message canceled.
So none of that was left? What?
Maybe if you go too long, you're supposed to like push pound or something to save it. But that whole message was canceled.
Well, what's her name again?
Monique Lopez from
what's
Alhambra.
What's her age again? I guess is a better question, actually. But, all right, if you know Monique, please tell her that we called and we were very funny. Thank you.
She didn't get the message.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. And tomorrow morning we have Will Ferrell on the program. Very funny comedian
Homo.
In the studio.
Yeah, Will is Conan O'Brien's first Tonight Show guest tonight, too, by the way.
I believe he was his first guest on the old show, too.
I think that's true.
Conan's late show.
And coming up just after 8 o'clock, we have Kathy Griffin. It is the world-famous K-Rock at 7:23.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We will talk preview of the NBA Finals, Orlando versus Los Angeles. Also, what's up with the Stanley Cup. And we'll tell you about a baseball score of 37-6 in just a couple of minutes when we catch up with Matt Money Smith.
37-6. Major announcement reporting for duty,
sir. Here's major announcement. Right. Here we go.
Major, just could I play kind of a recap of some of our breakfast so people can get an idea what it is? Before?
No, you cannot, soldier. All right. I hate to see that sad look on your face.
Thank you. Some previous Kevin and Bean breakfast with.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our breakfast with My Chemical Romance.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jack Johnson.
Seems to me that maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, Incubus.
Blink 182.
Yeah! Radiohead.
No doubt, everybody.
I'm just a girl.
Nine Inch Nails and the world famous K-Rock.
Ladies and gentlemen, Metallica.
U2.
Foo Fighters.
Let's hear it for Weezer.
Breakfast with the Killers.
Please welcome Coldplay.
And it was all yellow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Linkin Park.
What was your favorite, Mike? Would you say it was Breakfast with Metallica?
Yeah.
Remember we did it in the locker room down there at Honda Center?
It was such a small place. I got like Kurt's sweat on me, you know, when it
You actually, Psycho Mike, you weren't there. You had a some sort of a wedding planning dinner to go do or something like that. You missed that one.
It
you didn't get to go to Metallica.
It was an engagement shower.
Yeah.
That's
it
what
was an engagement party.
And that's what it was.
And the band was 2 inches from the crowd. That's the beautiful thing about these breakfasts is that
my favorite breakfast was Molly Hatchet.
Yeah.
I don't think we did the Molly Hatchet breakfast with. I'm afraid not.
Damn it, but, I made your announcement.
big band, small place. You get to go see them perform and ask your questions. Mr. Major announcement is here. I guess you're not Mr. Major. You're either Major or you're Mr. You're not both.
You would not make it in my Marine Corps, sir.
No, I would. What is the major announcement
you would be
today,
the
major announcement?
Of a blanket party.
I don't like the sound of that at all.
We would pull you out of the barracks and we would beat you with a sack full of oranges.
Oh, is that like lemon party? Because that sounds bad, too.
Oh, just stop.
Wow, are you bad.
Don't ask, don't tell in this man's army, sir.
Yeah, it should be. All right, let's talk about our current breakfast. We're going to start giving away tickets to our new breakfast coming up this morning.
I don't know what it is, but I bet some long-haired weirdos.
Oh, you don't know what it is?
No.
We should have briefed you.
I thought you were major announcement.
I wasn't briefed before I left the barracks.
Oh, sorry about that. We are having breakfast with Green Day.
Yeah.
How about that? Breakfast with Green Day.
I'm not familiar with their work.
You're not familiar with Green Day?
No, sir, I am not.
American Idiot?
How dare you call me that, sir? I have served my country proudly.
Green Day has a brand new CD out, and we've had them before, and they are great.
Are they like Foghat?
They're not like Foghat at all. They're actually current and good. And what we're going to do is we're going to give away tickets for you to come watch the band. They're going to play songs, but in between the songs, we interview them and you, the audience, interview them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we need K-Rock listeners that actually have some information about Green Day.
Are they like Blue Oyster Cult?
No, they're not.
They just they have a color in the title, but that's about as far as it goes. So here's the deal. You win tickets to see Green Day at the Forum on August 25th, and you also win tickets to our special Kevin and Bean Breakfast with Green Day. A major announcement. You're, of course, invited to join us if you'd like to be there.
How about Badfinger? They sound like Badfinger at all?
No.
It's a shame I like Badfinger.
No, there's a lot of Green Day, though. If you were to go back and look up for the catalog, there's a lot of old Green Day
stuff. I will do some recon, sir.
Thank you. And you're not welcome at the breakfast.
And I will report back to you.
Okay.
At 0600 hours.
Can't wait for that. Breakfast with Green Day. Your chance to win starts coming up. I could have done that better, right?
No, sir.
Can I try that again?
That was great, eh?
Your chance to win is coming up very soon, right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Moments ago, we announced our latest Kevin and Bean Breakfast. This time, it's with Green Day. Win tickets to see them at the Forum and join us at a super secret location where you get a chance to hear the band play up close and ask your questions. By the way, if you have not yet picked up 21st Century Breakdown, then you're a lame-o because it's one of the best albums of the year. And we heartily recommend it.
Yeah, it's very good. And we're looking forward to doing Breakfast with Green Day. That's going to be a good time. They play, and you get to see them up close, and you can listen to it. If you don't win tickets, you can listen to it next Monday.
Okay.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, let's talk about the NBA Finals, shall we?
LA Lakers, Western Conference champions. They win the series in six games.
Matt Money Smith, former sports guy. How are you?
I'm good. I'm much better now that Bean used the word lame-o right before I came on.
Well, all the other words that came to mind that I was going to call people are not really fit for FCC, so that's why I ended up going to lame-o.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Dorkhead doesn't really work anymore.
Exactly, yeah. So, Money, Kevin disagrees with this because he was just happy to see a W for the Lakers, but it just seemed to me like such an anticlimactic end to what had been a great series between the Lakers and Denver, and for that matter, between Cleveland and Orlando. Both of them just kind of fizzled out in the final game.
Well, I think for the Lakers, just starting there with the Nuggets, you know, I said all along I was waiting to see that Nuggets team, the team that I was so familiar with that emotionally can check out of a game at times for, you know, 10-minute stretches or, for that matter, not even show up.
Yeah, they didn't even show up, which was shocking considering it was at their home and it was an elimination game.
Yeah.
And I can't explain why they didn't, other than I've seen it from Carmelo and Kenyon Martin and this group of players time and time again. And maybe it's because Chauncey Billups, who's kind of their newfound leader, didn't have it going and they didn't have his lead to follow. But the Lakers, you know, that said, just to get a little, I don't know, basketball analyst on you here, that, you know, the Lakers discovered that they have got to feed the post and get the ball to their big men, be it Andrew Bynum or Pau Gasol, because the Nuggets were double teaming them. And that meant someone was open and guys started cutting toward the hoop. And there were a lot more easy baskets, and that happened in the fourth quarter of Game 5 when they really worked that offense through Pau Gasol. And Kobe got what he needed to get because Pau was so effective, and they did that the entire game
right.
in Game 6, mm-hmm. and that was the big mismatch.
Now, as much as everybody, you know, from the networks on down to the casual fan wanted to see Kobe versus LeBron, this is actually a tougher matchup for the Lakers in the finals is against Orlando. Don't you think they'll be a more difficult team to beat than Cleveland would be?
Yes and no. I think that it's funny when you look at the numbers. You know, the Lakers lost both regular season games against the Magic. They won both regular season games against the Cavaliers. But the two games against the Magic, the first one in Orlando, Kobe had a shot that was in. I mean, it was in the hoop, rattled around, popped out. That was that last second loss. The one at Staples Center, Kobe missed two threes late. Again, same situation. Good looks. Don't go down. And Jameer Nelson, who's out with a shoulder injury and won't even be playing, hit this remarkable, you know, 31-foot three-pointer that essentially won the game. So by no means were those two losses, oh, the Magic dominated the Lakers. But they do have better players. You know, they don't have the best player in LeBron James, but when you go from Dwight Howard to their number two, their number three, their number four,
yeah,
two, three, and four is much better than
I heard somebody saying on Saturday night that the Cavs had the best player on the court and the Magic had the next four best players on the court.
That sounds about right. You know, and the big problem with the Magic is they've got a dominant big man, which nobody has.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's another one of those situations. You know, when they play Houston, I said it's like in college football when you play Air Force and they run the triple option. You just can't really game plan for that. So it takes you a game or two to get your head around, why is this team so different than any other that we faced all season? And that's what the Magic are. They've got this giant Greek Adonis in the center with, you know, this great low post game and the ability to fly around the court at 6'11", 280 pounds. And you just don't see that. You know, no other team has that. So it'll take the Lakers a game to get used to the fact that they're playing a squad that's got, you know, an old school dominating center that everything goes through.
Before we get to your prediction on what will happen in the NBA Finals, and this is former sports guy, the Kevin Amico, Matt Money Smith, on the phone with us right now. What's the fallout on how LeBron handled himself after the Cavaliers lost the other night? I understand he didn't even talk to his players, much less the media, that he was the first guy to leave the arena with headphones on.
Big. It's pretty big because, you know, LeBron is you know, I'm quoting right now, one of the good guys. He is someone that's always done it right, that's mature beyond his years. He's not polarizing. It's very hard to not like LeBron James. So this really is like the first incident, you know, if you want to call it that, that we've had of LeBron and you know, going about it the wrong way. Bad sports.
Being human.
But being human, yeah. Right? You can understand that that guy wanted to win more than anyone on that team, and that's disappointing. And
he did his part.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. You know, he averaged over 40 points per game. Turns out that's doing your part.
You can't really ask for more than that from a player.
So, you know, but that said, I think, you know, and this is, well, we're in Los Angeles, so, you know, what people will say is, oh, if that was Kobe, they'd kill him. They would kill the guy if Kobe pulled that crap. So, it's another chapter in the, you know, well, LeBron's kind of likable, so we'll let him get away with it. He's only 24, you know, he's just a kid. But that's
well, I agree with Kevin. I think, I mean, it may have been, he may have handled it poorly, but it's understandable after the season that he's had and how close he got to going back to the finals. You can sure understand why he would not be in any mood to chat after that loss. That's for sure.
I mean, I can agree with the skip the post-game press conference. I don't want to talk about, you know, am I going to New York in a year now? Do I hate my teammates? But, you know, at least go over to Dwight Howard, who freaking destroyed your team, who was, you know, your teammate on the Olympic squad, who you consider a very close friend. Just
at least be a gracious loser.
So,
yeah. Right, exactly.
So, Money, what's going to happen? What's the current thinking that's going to happen with LeBron James? He's going to leave Cleveland?
Nobody knows. You know, he has, it's about 50-50. A lot of people say he's a homebody. He likes being in Cleveland. He's got all his people around him. He's made hundreds of millions of dollars playing for the Cavaliers. Why would he want to leave? He's not like a guy that has to be in New York to make money. And I think it'll come down to, does he feel like he can win a championship?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because if he doesn't think he can go further next year, he's going to want to go further next year.
Right, and I guess that then brings the question, who's got $25 million a year available in salary cap, because they don't have any other good players that are earning that money that can then take him? And that's the you know, that's the trick of playing in a league where everyone's got to abide by the same rules and has the same amount of money to spend.
But then again, Money... The problem with that, though, is if you have that kind of money, most of the time you don't have a very good supporting cast, which is the situation he's in right now.
It's true, you know, and remember, that happened with the Lakers. You know, Jerry West, the general manager that he was in 1996, you know, saw an opening and said, all right, I've got a high draft pick, Shaquille O'Neal, favorite team is the Lakers. We are going to move every cent we have and try to make this work financially, and they did. You know, they drafted Kobe Bryant that year. They signed Shaquille O'Neal from the Orlando Magic, and they won three titles. So
yeah.
It's not impossible. You know, it's not like it's something that can't be done for the New York Knicks or whatever team it is that wants to get into that position.
Will the Lakers get LeBron James?
You know, I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, that's a joke.
Yeah. All right, last basketball question, then we want to move on to a couple other things real fast with Matt Money Smith, former sports guy, the Kevin and Bean Show, on the phone with us here. Your prediction, you know a lot about both teams. How do you like the way they match up in the finals?
I think it's a tough final. But I do, you know, when people ask me who would you rather have after the Lakers won Friday night, I said the Magic, because it's all about formatics in the finals. For some reason, the NBA goes two games at home, three games away, two games at home. And it really puts the road team at a significant disadvantage because, first off, you start on the road against arguably the best team in the NBA, and you have to win it. You have to try to get that split. And let's say you get the split, you're not going to, one team is not going to dominate another when they're this good at this level three times in a row.
Right.
You know what? It's going to be 2-1 likely in that sit. So now you've got to win two road games as the road team. And that just rarely happens.
And the last two are at home, game six and game seven.
Exactly. So you have two shots to close it out if you had a hiccup on the road. And I think that plays tremendously in the Lakers' favor.
Okay. Let's turn our attention just very quickly to the Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh obviously lost it last year, right? Or won it last year.
They lost it last year, right? Last year in 16.
Yeah. To stupid Detroit.
So now they're back, and stupid Detroit is up 2-0 again. What up?
Yeah, Detroit's that much better. You know, and there is actually a pretty interesting, if you want to pay attention to the Stanley Cup and you can find verses for games 3 and 4, there's a great storyline running through the Stanley Cup final, and that is that Marian Hossa was on the Penguins last year. They made a big trade to get him.
Yep.
He helped them get to the Stanley Cup finals, and they offered him a grip of cash to come back, and he thought he'd have a better chance to win a cup by signing with the Red Wings, who gave him less money. Well, now, of course, his jilted lover is back staring at him in the face in the Stanley Cup Finals. And he's now got to go back to Pittsburgh and face a very dedicated fan base at the Igloo, you know, who he said, yeah, I love it here, and then bailed on.
He was one of Pittsburgh's best players in Detroit. Those bastards, they get everybody. It's just like an all-star team.
Yeah, and just kind of the way he went about it, too, is it's kind of like if you text message your fiance that you didn't want to get married, and then all of a sudden you wake up and you're in her living room and her father's sitting in a rocking chair. that's kind of what Host is going to go through. So even if they get swept, that ought to make for interesting theater.
All right, last question, because even though it was college baseball, it was still one of the most awesome stories of the weekend. Money, you were probably watching Florida State over Ohio State 37-6.
I mean, if only they had two more innings, I think they could have come back.
That's a baseball score?
Yeah.
Oh, did I say baseball? It looks like a football score, doesn't it?
37-6?
Yeah. 37-6.
Was I pitching?
I think it was 31-0 at one point. I think there was a comeback happening for Ohio State, it looked like.
Like I said, you know, two more innings.
Two more innings, right.
All the way back.
Is that a record? You've got sports in your mind there, Money. Is that a record? You know what?
It's got to be close to, if not, you know, they don't have the mercy rule, so it's not like it's 11-0 and ping pong, move on to the next. But it's up there. And that's just, you know, that's technology. That's the aluminum baseball bat, and the fact that, you know, you can just crush balls for 600 feet, and if you get rolling and the other team doesn't have good pitching, you know, these teams that are at this level on their way to the College World Series can do some serious damage.
12-6. Is a destruction in baseball.
Yeah, it's a blowout. It's a blowout.
37 is just unheard of.
All right, you can catch our friend Matt Money Smith with his friend Petros Papadakis on their nationally syndicated sports radio show. Don't forget, Money's book is available through Amazon.com and in stores, too, called The Great Book of Los Angeles Sports List. Matt, we'll talk to you in a few days at the beginning of the finals. All right, man?
Can I get a quick plug-in?
Sure.
I'm going to be on Good Day LA on Fox TV in like 15 minutes if you want to watch it.
Wow.
Okay. Julian and Dorothy and all them.
Look
people.
At you on TV and some junk.
Have they
seen you?
You know what? I've been on before. So they know what they're getting themselves into.
All right, buddy. Thank you, man.
All right, guys.
Talk to you soon. K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:58.
That record skipping, dude. Mm-hmm.
And now, another drama-filled moment on the hills.
This necklace is my favorite. This is what made me officially a princess. Like, I feel like a real princess today. Look at my jewelry.
That was a drama-filled moment on the hills.
How do they keep up that pace? That's my question.
The twists and turns. I can't believe there's no hills till September. What are we going to do as a nation? All right, 7:59. Kathy Griffin is back on the TV. Her life is still on the D-list with a new season on Bravo tonight. She'll join us after the top of the hour right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Monday morning. Hey, Ralph.
Hey, as we do every Monday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Up from Disney and Pixar, doing very well this weekend. $68.2 million made it number one by far. Up indeed. That's what I say.
Really?
Two thumbs up.
Oh.
Really?
No.
No.
Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian, came in at number two, made $25.5 million. Drag Me to Hell, in its debut, made $16.6 million. Terminator Salvation was number four. Star Trek V, Angels and Demons was number 6. Dance Flick was number 7. Then X-Men Origins Wolverine Ghosts of Girlfriends Past. And Obsessed, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Jennifer Hudson is pregnant.
Uh-oh.
How can you tell?
Oh, you.
What? I'm just lying.
No,
what's the...
She's big and fat.
It was a baby shower.
Thanks, Mike, for the explanation.
In Chicago. That confirmed what had long been rumored. She is indeed pregnant.
Fat girl's fat.
She have a dude?
Yeah, she's engaged David Otunga.
Okay.
Who is a former reality TV star. I don't know what reality show he was on. But she's also a former reality TV star.
Right.
American Idol.
Sure.
And he is pursuing a career in pro wrestling. So,
yeah.
In other words, he's going to live off of her.
Yeah.
Which is nice. NBC has told the press the reason they passed on games 3, 4, and 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Usually, when it gets to the finals, the network will show them all on network.
They did television. Saturday and Sunday night.
They did. They pressed the NHL to do back-to-back games so they could get at least 2 of them in.
Right.
But the remaining games will be seen on Versus. You will not see them on the NBC network.
604 if you have DirecTV.
Because of they didn't want anything to interfere with their 4-night-a-week coverage of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. It's going to be on 4 nights a week, my friend.
Is that true?
Yes.
This is their big brother, in other words.
Yes.
4 nights a week?
Yes.
4 nights a week.
So they're passing on hockey to give us more Heidi and Spencer in the woods with mosquitoes.
Wow.
We got that going for us.
Wow.
So you don't see the Pens and the Wings. You see them.
That's a lot
of... You see Sanjaya wrestling with his snake, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh.
Sounds like code.
Saying there's snakes in the jungle on the Costa Rica. You know? So you got that going for you.
Huh. Well, hockey is not a ratings giant. Let's face it.
Should be. I don't understand that.
I don't either.
That is the best sport ever.
Everyone says it doesn't translate well on television. I think it looks great on television.
I do, too.
I watch it, no problem.
Love it.
No one can follow the puck. Sure it is. It's that black thing on the ice. They're all chasing. That's the puck. Follow it.
I've never got that either. Why you can't
see it? It's so confusing. I can't see the puck. What are you doing? What's wrong with you?
By the way, not only that, but every single player on the ice's head is pointed at the puck wherever it is.
Right.
All of them are looking at it.
Just follow all the guys.
It's just not that
difficult. That's where the puck will be. And then when they all go, yay, that means it went into the net. That's how you know. Except the one guy with the mask on the face. He's angry. That's how you know.
We all have things that we can't understand how everyone's not in. That's mine, hockey. I don't get it.
Strike hurt the game. I think it lost a lot
of people. I
think so,
too, but still, these playoffs have been unbelievable.
Absolutely. Every series has been terrific.
I wish my team was in it, but other than that.
I wish my team was in it. Because my team was in it.
I wish I had a team.
Then they got voted out. Speaking of teams, you didn't talk about this with our man Matt Money Smith, but... did you hear the Rams are going to be up for sale?
I did
the
not.
The St. Louis Rams, apparently. The Rosenblum family, whatever the name is of Frontieri's kids who have it, they're having some financial issues, and they're looking to unload the Rams. How cool would it be if the Rams came back to Los Angeles? Wouldn't that be cool?
You think people would jump back on board?
I think there's a lot of former Rams fans who would like to see the L.A. Rams return.
I think if any team came here, a lot of people would be excited just because it's the NFL. But,
the Rams especially.
They already have,
There's a lot of heartbroken Rams fans who got screwed when Georgia pulled that team out of here who I think would appreciate having the team back.
I'd rather a good team came here, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, well.
San Diego Chargers.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Morgan Freeman is 72 years old today.
Yeah.
Alanis Morissette turns 35 years old today. Both of them played God at one point or another, by the way.
That's a good point.
True. Oh, interesting.
That's odd.
God's birthday. Heidi Klum is 36. And that's all I care about. none of these other people on this list do I really care about.
All right.
So I'm done. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I got a question for you guys. When did Kathy Griffin start to get hot? What's this all about?
Wow.
She did. I don't know. That's right.
It was a leap. I mean, I don't mean that to be as bad as it sounded.
But boy, were you ugly before, is what Kevin's saying.
Yeah, that good save.
You know, there are a lot of women, I think, who just get better.
And thank you.
Definitely one of them.
Wow, that was a better save.
That was a much better segue.
Nice.
It's true,
sorry,
though.
Kathy, I didn't mean that.
She just gets better.
I have an affliction where I get a little bit hotter every week.
Whether you try to or not.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
Well, I said,
what are you going to do?
I can't fight baby Jesus.
There's no cure.
It's just what she wants.
Already,
so when you're 100, you're going to be Megan Fox, basically, is the direction you're headed.
Megan Fox wishes. She's going to look like my old homely aunt.
Kathy, we haven't had you in the studio in a long time. We were talking, I don't know, a week ago or something. We were saying, why haven't we had Kathy Griffin? It's been forever.
I do not know.
Take off the jacket. Yes.
Love hasn't died, right?
It's Valentino, but whatever. Hold on. I'm sorry. I know it's radio, but I have to comment on these headphones.
Okay.
Yeah. Does a dog come in at night and chew them? They're frayed.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think I got crabs.
Our chair from before when you came in, or
yeah,
from those?
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I thought we were starting a new topic.
No,
I mean from the headphones.
Yeah, they're nasty, okay. And the chairs don't work. And
now,
we
would
apologize
you? Who,
for all
what
of that.
Other celebrities have worn these exact headphones recently?
Well, I'll tell you, the one who did the most damage to them is Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
He's the one who really, he was like putting them underwater, putting them on his big fat sweaty head.
Did he eat them?
No, he
no,
got them all wet.
No,
okay. All right.
Who all else right. has worn those? Pretty much everyone.
But I mean, Stefani, Dave
we pass
Grohl.
Them around.
Okay, good.
We pass them around. So pretty much those have been
people.
On everyone.
Yep.
Well, okay, then yes, my life on the D-list is back tonight at 10.
Hey, don't you have a TV show that's back tonight at 10?
You mean the double Emmy Award-winning Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List?
That would be it.
Yes,
that's
that
right.
And I'd like to say I was surprised to see you not still carrying the Emmy around. I thought you didn't go anywhere without that in your hand.
Okay. They're in the car.
Put on a necklace or something.
First of all,
okay.
There's
that
you.
Earrings.
I've been impaled by my own talons,
uh-huh.
And I mean the ones on my person, but also the statues as well. So many times that
right.
I've sustained several injuries. And by the way, to the Academy, if you're listening, I'm happy to impale myself again this year. I should be so lucky. Yeah, screw John and Kate plus eight. All right, this is a real show. Damn it.
Now, Kathy, how long are you going to be able to claim you're on the D list? Because it looks to us like you're moving up.
As a matter of fact, all right, hold on. Let me ask you the letter.
C-.
Really?
Yes. At
I
least.
Okay,
C.
Now does the
maybe
would you, does the hot figure help?
Oh, definitely.
Or her? Okay.
Definitely.
So
oh,
my
helps.
Bang and bikini
yeah.
bod
yes.
got me up at least a half letter.
Did
yeah.
you say to yourself, I need a bang and bikini bod?
No, as a matter of fact.
Or just happened?
Paris Hilton changed my life in the following way.
Okay.
This year on the D-list, it's not so much about like, you know, can I even get a gig? But it's that I spend time in the lives of A-listers and get lessons.
Okay.
So one episode, I get a harebrained scheme to decide to become more famous by joining Young Hollywood.
Okay.
Because it's about time.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend the day with T.I.
T.I. in jail or is this pre-jail?
I cannot even believe how judgmental you've gotten.
So pre-jail.
Yes. So, yes, I went to Roscoe's with T.I.
Okay.
And I know. It's fun. You're laughing already, right?
Well, who fits there less than you? I mean, really. That's the best.
It was just me the whole time going, chicken and waffles.
How do you do both?
And so I will say, though, that T.I. is lovely. And the thing about booking T.I. is you got to book him like there's a time issue.
Right.
Yes, that's right. He had a deadline.
He's,
right.
He's not as available as yeah. you, right. you think.
Right. Right.
But good for him. He's helping the kids. Okay. So, and then I also spend the day with Paris Hilton, who, of course, personifies all that is Young Hollywood. And one thing we did was we went shopping on Robertson, of course, and she bought me a little bikini. So we thought it'd be funny if she and I went poolside together in bikinis. And then it turns out the paparazzi was there because...
Because you're there.
I called them.
And
which I hate when I infringe upon my own privacy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
when
like
you
I'm
call
just,
the paparazzi and
yeah.
say, yeah, that hurts.
How do you ever get away from them?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and you know what?
Impossible.
I'm just a person. And so when I think of someone like
life.
Me, calling them on me,
yeah.
it's so it crosses the line.
It does.
I hear you.
And what about the kids?
What about the kids?
Thank
there
you.
Aren't any kids, Kathy.
Well, that's because I can't ruin my figure.
Now, did you get along with Paris Hilton when you were doing this? Because
of course I did.
She seems to be the type of person that you mock heartlessly forever.
Well, and now I have even more material than I ever could have dreamed,
yeah.
spending a day with her.
So you're nice to her to her
she...
face, and then you'll stab her in the back of your act, basically.
Yeah, I tend to, yes. well, I like to use the term process, but yeah, I'm more likely to be nice to her face, process,
right,
and then I'm not necessarily responsible for what comes out in my act.
I see. Okay, now,
Thursday night in Montclair, New Jersey, and four shows this weekend in Atlantic City.
Now,
all right.
Now, I'm sorry that I interrupted. You were talking about your out
okay,
the pool.
Okay, so it turns
Paris
out that I thought it would be funny. Obviously, here's Paris Hilton, 6 feet tall, perfect, spray tanning herself, you know. And then I thought, well, then I should get in this little teeny bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that I have a way, way better body than Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And that
that's
has
true,
been,
by the way. That is true.
That has been a bitter pill for the entire Hilton dynasty.
Really?
Every hotel has suffered. Nikki has not taken it. No.
Wow.
I think that guy she's banging on the Hills might be calling me one of these nights.
You think so?
Wow. Well, somebody from the Hills is going to sleep with me eventually.
Sure.
I think so.
Sure, that's true.
Do you, by the way, who would be a good Hills boyfriend for me?
Spencer.
Oh, wait.
Oh, come
no.
on.
God, don't do that.
Well,
to
like
her.
Any of them are any better than any of the other ones.
There's got to be one good one. Who's the
All
least
right, Brody,
horrible?
Brody's an ass hat. We know that. Justin Bobby is an
Justin
idiot.
Bobby,
we know that.
Yeah.
Did that
He's
guy, is that one in jail? Who's in jail? Anybody in jail?
Mm. Oh, I don't think so. None of them are in jail. Doug is just milquetoast. He's just boring. I think you'd be bored with him.
I'm sorry. I have to stop you for 1 second.
Yeah?
Do you mean Doug Reinhart?
Yeah.
Okay, because my BFS Paris Hilton and Doug are very, very much in love. And I resent you implying that maybe what they have isn't real, because it is special and it is a deeper love than anyone in this room will ever know, you heartless bastards.
But it'll be over by tomorrow or the next day.
According to my act, you know, the clock is ticking.
Then you move in.
Well, it flares out when it burns that hot.
Yeah, thank you. That's what it is. It is a love. It's like the Thornbirds. It is a love that knows no boundaries.
Ooh, good Thornbirds reference. Thank you.
Did Grandma show her cards right there? Sorry about that.
I think young Hollywood is going to welcome you. All right. Kathy Griffin is here. My Life on the D-List is back with a new season.
Stop laughing in my face,
that is
Kevin.
Tonight the best reference at 10 I've ever heard. On Bravo, we'll take a break and come back with more with Kathy after this on the Kevin Abeen Show. Kevin Abeen Show.
Should we Twitter it? Should we Twitter it, everybody? Should we go ahead and Twitter every second?
Yeah.
Kevin Abeen Show with Kathy Griffin in our studio. My Life on the D-List is back with an all-new season tonight at 10 on Bravo. Kathy is on the Twitter and now mm-hmm. has started to think of
a
conspiracy that's going on, perhaps,
well,
that
yeah,
I hadn't even thought
comedian,
about.
As a comedian and an artist and a sometime plumber, which I don't talk about that much. No. But anyway, I have a question.
Yes.
I would love to hear officially from Twitter as well as from the Kutchers,
mm-hmm.
all of them, but mostly the main two, if they are receiving any compensation at all from Twitter, meaning stock options,
really?
Anything. Because why would Ashton Kutcher pick a corporate entity like Twitter, which obviously is a profitable company, and promote it and promote it and promote it and then get Larry King involved and Oprah involved? And I know he's saying, well, it's a great way to unify people, but Twitter's got a heck of a lot of followers now.
I took for granted that that was just him wanting to point attention to himself. I took for granted that was just an ego thing of how many people can I get to follow. I didn't think perhaps that was a sponsorship.
I would love to hear officially if there's any kind of a deal going on, because...
Because you want one?
Well, yes, I want one, happily. But I think if he's doing it and getting compensated, that's completely fine, but I think he should disclose it, or Twitter should disclose it. And also, you know, on my phone, there's ads on my Twitter. So obviously Twitter does make money somehow.
Sure.
You know?
See, now that's, I didn't know that because I was thinking they don't make any money.
Well, I have a thing on my phone called Twitterific, and there's ads on it. Hmm. So somebody's making money there. But I'm just a little suspicious.
How do we know which Twitter is yours? It's hard to find celebrities
I think I'm Official Kathy G.
Official Kathy G.
I think it's called Official Kathy G. I don't know.
I
Twitter
think that's
like,
right.
I'll try to do it more. Sorry. I mean, I'm really into it. It's the community, really, that I'm so
it's all about that.
Proud to be.
I know what I wanted to ask you. If anyone has been the celebrity face of the Prop 8 controversy that's been going on, it's been you. You seem to be at all the rallies when there's a vote and whatnot.
But I think the real face has been my mother.
Your mom.
That's
true,
Maggie.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up. Your mom. God
bless
her, right?
The 89-year-old activist that she is. I call her the white Angela Davis. Once again, a nice reference for the kids
that's
on the hills.
Yes.
Google it. But yes, so I got the, you know, in the D-List, we're doing a whole episode about Prop 8. And, you know, gee, guess which side we're on. But anyway, so there was a big rally and last week, as you guys know. And so I got Maggie to go, put her in a wheelchair, which she was bitter about. But I just knew she would have.
It?
Well, I knew that her gay energy would be higher if she didn't have to worry about the walker.
All right.
And also, you know, when she's got the walker, she's got to balance her box of wine and the fanny pack. And, you know, it's kind of a lot of maintenance. And the gays have to each take an elbow and she gets cranky. And this way we just put her in a wheelchair and let her drink and carry a sign.
That's awesome.
Nicely done.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, the way our forefathers marched. But they're right.
That's the way they wanted it.
Uh-huh. She was a big hit.
Were you surprised by the ruling last week, Kathy? I know
this
is a cause you've been very involved in.
Yes, of course. We all, you know, we thought we were ahead of the curve here. And it turns out the crazy hemp-smoking Governor Moonbeam California may be the last one to join the party.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we had Mayor Newsom on from San Francisco last week, and we were talking about how it
Yummy.
Really is just, it's just a matter.
I got a bunch of my guys that want to bite out of him.
If he were gay, he would be your best gay friend, right?
He'd be my gay bestie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
we were talking about how it really is just a, it's a matter of demographics at this point because it is such a difference in generation. I mean, the young people, it's overwhelmingly
non-issue.
For the marriage.
Right. They don't care, right?
But, you know, so it's just a question
California
of living long enough to see it, right?
San Francisco and Los Angeles. Most of the state is rural and we have a Republican governor, so...
Sort of Republican governor.
No, but he's also, our governor spends a lot of time in recovery. I mean, seriously, this guy's had more face work than me and Joan Rivers combined, and he's got a lot of healing. And I don't mean healing like in a government. I mean, he's literally has healing and probably has some salve on right now. God love her. But anyway, it's a big deal. And I, as I tour this great country of ours, I can tell you that in every city, the gays are pissed. They're pissed. Yeah. They're not happy about this. And, you know, nobody mobilizes like the gay army. They have uniforms. They've been practicing.
That's true.
They have dance moves. Signs are impeccable. They will be heard.
That's the thing that separates them from most groups is the dance moves.
Coordinated. And, you know, the gays, they will mobilize and they will write that legislation and make it happen.
Why aren't you gay is my question, Kathy. Because
I'm a gay dude.
Oh, is that so? You do sleep. So wait. So you're a gay dude who sleeps with guys. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah,
right.
Because you clearly failed.
And it is my preference to sleep with gay men. That would, if I could, like if I could, I would just marry T.R. Knight. Like that would be my dream husband.
you've already failed at heterosexual marriage. So check.
Yes. And
why not?
Heterosexual everything. I can barely function as heterosexual. But as a gay guy, I'm home. It's like a big comforting blanket around me.
All right. Now let's talk about my life on the D list. What are some of the other things that do this season?
First of all, star studded. All right. So this week is the unseen footage, never before seen. Next week, Kathy tries to get tips from Bette Midler. Oscar nominee, Bette Midler. I go to Vegas. Okay. I do a cameo in her show. The next week, I go to Canada and hook up with, and this happened very last minute. She was a doll, Lily Tomlin.
Okay.
Very dry, very funny, very awesome. Then I do an episode. Oh, do you guys like Paula Deen? You know who she is, the Southern cook?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not your doctor. Everything has butter. Everything's deep fried. Yep. So we go to her house and stay in her house in Savannah, and the food is like beyond. But anyway, she's a pistol. That was fun. Then, of course, we have our TI episode.
Sure.
You're going to like this. I hope you can appreciate this. I do a set at the Apollo. In Harlem.
Really?
Are you serious?
Hello, straight people. Gotcha. Gotcha, straight people. I knew it was going to take a minute, but I decided to do an episode because, you know, every year we have our sort of semi-serious episode, and I wanted to do an episode about race and stand-up. Is stand-up really colorblind? So I...
Ask Michael Richards.
I would like to think the answer is yes. And so then I did a set at the Apollo, and I went to Cat Williams' house first, and I got some advice, and I think Cat's like the funniest guy on the planet. So
he's very funny.
He loaned me his flat iron, so I straightened my hair while I was there, and I spent the day with Reverend Al Sharpton.
Wow!
Oh yes!
Wow!
In Bed-Stuy, and
in what?
Bed-Stuy, Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Oh, okay.
And
it's a part of New York, in bed. Kevin Hurd was in bed with Al Sharpton.
I've never heard that other word.
I will tell you this: I have a little crush on Al Sharpton.
You do,
and maybe someday I'll return as Kathy Sharpton.
So when you went out there,
he's fearless and he's always in trouble, and I love people like that. Okay, so I went out there.
And how much did you have to change your act for the all-black crowd at the Apollo?
Well, I did not change it enough because let's just say it didn't go my way.
Really?
And I think it will make for compelling television.
I think
it will be cringeworthy. But here's what I will tell you. It didn't go my way, but absolutely having nothing to do with anything racial or racial sensitivity at all.
Oh, interesting.
I kind of couldn't stop with the potty mouth.
Right. And they didn't like that?
Not on Amateur Family Night.
Oh, yeah. That has a little bit of a church feeling to it, that Amateur Night at the Apollo. It's a little bit of you dress up and it's all good.
I went on after intermission and they made a whole announcement that, you know, now it's my life on the D list and this camera's here and wave to the cameras.
But you weren't aware that it was family night or whatever?
I thought they were home. Actually, there were only like two kids left, but I mean, I...
Offended them soundly?
You know, here's the problem. When I get my first laugh with, how shall I say, a pee joke...
Right. At Spurgeon.
Yeah.
You don't have any choice.
Okay.
Right.
I hear you.
Wow. Right. What a great season. My Life on the D-List premieres. The new season is on Bravo next Monday night at 10 o'clock and then every week thereafter.
Tonight.
By the way,
tonight.
I'm sorry. It says June 8th on this
I
thing,
know,
and it's clearly wrong.
I know,
that's
they're not counting the unseen footage as the first episode, but I...
Oh, yeah, well, you got to see the unseen
footage. Unseen footage from last season?
Unseen footage tonight from all four seasons.
All four seasons.
Yes.
Okay,
oh, cool.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay.
All right, listen, Kathy, here's what we're going to ask you to do for us, my dear. We want to give away some tickets to our super secret breakfast with Green Day that we just announced on the Kevin and Bean show
this
morning.
Which is very exciting, by the way.
It is, because they're a great band, right? Yes. So you get to see them up close and personal. They play for you. You get to help us interview the band. Plus, we'll throw in tickets to go see them at the Forum with Franz Ferdinand. We'd like to play a game with you called Lick Kathy. Would you be amenable to that?
Can it be in my lower regions?
That used to be off limits, but it's your game. It's
if
up
that's
to you.
What you...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, oh, Kathy, everybody asked for that.
No, they don't, unfortunately. That's part
in fact,
of the rule.
Lisa won't even let us lick there for some reason. You're so much better than she is.
I'm actually, it's a deal breaker for me.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
So if you want to call 1-800-520-1067, and we will be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ at 844.
You're listening
Dave
to Kevin
Grohl?
And Bean.
That is Dave Grohl.
Yes,
yeah.
That's
big,
your boyfriend, Dave
Grohl.
Grohl.
And his wife, very big Kathy Griffin, My Life on the D-List fans.
Is that right?
Really? Yeah, I'm reaching a lot of demos. Or, now, is he gay or no?
No.
Grohl?
Wait,
no.
Are you sure?
Ask his wife and all their kids if he's gay.
He's not a down low gay?
I don't think
no,
so.
Not at all. No.
I'm guessing not, but you
not
could ask
a little
him.
Bit. All right, then I'm going to have to burn my CDs. I try not to let that hetero energy in my life.
That's true.
You use a little hetero energy in your life, quite frankly, young lady.
Well, I think I'm about to get licked by you, Ralph.
Yes, you are.
All right.
Earlier today, Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Green Day. Didn't think I was going to get that sentence out, but
no.
We're giving away some tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. Call from wherever you are. It's time to lick Kathy.
Can you lick
Kathy Griffin?
I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick
Kathy Griffin,
something hot's waiting for you.
I can't re-record it.
Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin. Kathy Griffin.
But keep clear of her.
Kathy Griffin.
How do you put up with this?
You had to doctor the intro a little bit.
Do you at least have full health coverage, Lisa?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that helps.
Go ahead.
Here's the way the game is played. I'm going to be asking a question, Kathy, the answer of which is a number, okay? So you're going to answer the question. You're going to take your best guess.
Do I stand or sit?
You can stay right where you are.
You sure? Yes. You can lick me from there?
And then the caller just says whether they think that the guess is right on or the correct answer is higher or lower.
All right, so it's a numbers game.
Yes,
got
it's
it.
A numbers game. If they're right, they go into the drawing to win the Breakfast with Green Day tickets, and at the same time, Ralph gets to lick Kathy. Ralph Garman is in the studio. He's going to be actually licking Kathy.
He's the licker.
Today,
so.
I am.
Okay.
If they lick you with the answer, I get to lick you physically.
Okay.
All right.
Sort
of symbolic. Let's give this a whirl and see how it goes.
Let's start with one of Kathy's people. Matt is a hairstylist. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
Matt, are we on the same team, if you know what I'm saying?
We are on the same team.
Oh, thank God you called. Hi, Matt.
Hey, let me give you guys some good news. Matt, this is really good news for you. I just found out no grand prize drawing. Everybody who licks Kathy wins tickets for Breakfast with Green Day.
Wow.
How about
what?
That?
That's
fantastic.
Sweet.
Yeah. That's the most anyone's ever gotten from licking Kathy, by the way.
Yeah. Normally, you're lucky you get a hug.
Right. Listen up, Matt. Remember, Kathy answers first. The boys in Green Day formed back in 1987 in that liberal commie-loving town of Berkeley, California. Berkeley is located on the east shore of the San Francisco Bay. Kathy, your question. On the Richter scale, how big was the famous 1906 San Francisco earthquake?
7.1.
All right. 7.1. Matt, is the actual answer right on, or is it higher or lower?
I'm going to say Kathy's right on.
I'm going to say no, I'm sorry. The 1906 quake was 7.8. Actually,
wow.
Even bigger than the one from a few years ago.
And
so
by
I'm
the
sorry,
way, as if a gay hairdresser you. Gives a crap about Green Day.
That's true.
Can we throw in some Cher tickets?
Sorry. Thanks for the call.
Call just
That's
to talk
a good
to
point.
You.
What about Cher at the Coliseum? We can't.
No.
No. All right.
We're not really sponsoring that one. Miguel, hi.
Hi.
All right, Miguel, listen up. Here's your question, Kathy. Holiday was released off the Green Day album American Idiot back in 2004. The Holiday was a Christmas chick flick starring Cameron Diaz released in 2006. Here's your question, Kathy. How many times has Cameron Diaz been nominated for a Golden Globe?
Two.
All right. Miguel, is that the right answer, or is the right answer higher or lower?
We're right on.
Miguel, the clock is licking.
There's three options.
Higher.
Four times she's been nominated for Gangs of New York, Vanilla Sky, Being John Malkovich, and There's Something About Mary. Congratulations, you've licked Kathy.
No, I will lick Kathy.
Nicely done. Okay. Back of the arm.
Thank you, Ralph. By the way, Ralph, that lick's been a long time in coming. Am I right?
I should have been licking you years ago.
I know.
Jeremiah, hi.
Hey.
All right, Jeremiah, listen up. Here's the question. Green Day's hit song, Welcome to Paradise, should not be confused with Ralph's all-time favorite song, Two Tickets to Paradise. Here's your question.
Sweet.
Kathy, how much are two round-trip coach airplane tickets from L.A. to Honolulu on Hawaiian Airlines?
How would I know what a coach ticket cost? That doesn't even make. Do you want to? How much is a Learjet compared to a prop plane?
Seen the coach?
Do you, a G4? I mean, do you want to? All right, two coach tickets to I don't know. They could be anything.
Yeah, they could be. That's why we're asking you to guess.
L.A. to Honolulu. $400,000.
I'm sorry. How much?
$400,000.
No, you're not taking the whole plane.
Oh,
coach. He's yelling, lower,
two
lower.
Tickets.
Wait, are
coach
you saying that there's
trip.
Other people on the plane
yes.
besides being the pilot?
I know,
yes.
it's hard
people
for you
I
to
haven't
understand.
Met?
Yes.
Strangers?
Yes.
Oh, all right. $800.
$800. All right. Is that exactly right, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'll say higher.
Great guess, Kathy. It is higher. $888 is the correct
wow.
answer.
Oh, nice.
Right on there.
Nicely done, Jeremiah.
If you went to Priceline, you could probably get it at $800, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
You will be at our breakfast.
Oh, Ralph. I could lose forever.
Yeah. All right. We got time for just one more contestant here.
All right. Raymond, hi. Hello?
Ooh.
What was that?
What is
Raymond?
That?
Raymond, you there?
He's gone. Go to Lisa.
He's gone. Go to Lisa.
Oh, wow. Did you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Who is this?
This is Lisa.
He's oh. gone. Go to Lisa. How can you be on Raymond's line?
I have no idea.
You're Lisa the manicurist?
Wow, we got
I'm
Lisa.
I'm Lisa the manicurist.
That's so funny. You said, huh. I don't know, go to Lisa.
You're on a producer or something.
Okay.
Wait, you guys have an in-house manicurist now?
Yes, we weren't aware of it.
You're very high and mighty.
Till just now.
Okay, so Lisa is our final contestant. Listen up, here's your question. After the success of their album Dookie, Green Day followed up 1 year later with Insomniac. Kathy, your question. According to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, how many Americans suffer from insomnia each year?
I would have to guesstimate 10 million.
All right. Lisa, is that the exact right answer, or is the right answer higher or lower?
I'd have to say higher.
You want to check with Raymond, or is that your final answer?
Raymond's gone.
Raymond seems to have checked out, so that's going to be my final.
All right.
Yeah, 64 million, as according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Nicely done. You're going to join us at our breakfast.
One more lick.
Look good for me, Ralph.
I did, baby.
It was sweet.
It's tasty.
Kathy, you are awesome as always. I'm so glad you had time to come in today. My Life on the D-List is back tonight. All new episodes on the Bravo Network at 10 o'clock every Monday night. Thanks for coming in. Good
please,
to see you.
And please go on my website and come see me on tour. I'm touring all over the place. Go on KathyGriffin.net. Come see me.
There you go. Thank you very much.
It's fun being licked.
In Pacoima, CHP's on scene of a stalled car, East 118 before Glen Oaks. That's in the left lane.
Lisa's commercial.
At the 10 West.
This is going to be so great.
From Holt across to Atlantic. First, use medicated wipes for extra relief.
Yeah.
Then, maximum strength cream from
That's
Preparation
right.
H, yeah. the relief expert.
Who needs more relief in that area than Lisa,
I'm
the way?
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Friction.
It is the world famous K-Rock.
Oh, come on.
I'm at 8:56.
Her vacation is butthole week, you know.
Well, that's true.
Ralph Erman joins us for our final look at the Showbiz Beat for Monday morning. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Up from Pixar and Disney. Huge numbers. Almost $69 million made it number one at the box office this weekend.
How about a little 69?
Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian was number two.
Smithsonian?
Yep.
All right.
That's what we like to call it.
Really? Shorten it?
At the Smithsonian, we all hang out.
Time for Ian.
Hang on the back with the rest of the crew, and we chat about exhibits. Wait a minute. Exhibit was there? Drag Me to Hell was number three. Terminator Salvation was number four. Star Trek was number five. Angels and Demons. I'm tired. And hungover. Dance Flick was number seven. X-Men Origins Wolverine was number eight. Then Ghosts of Girlfriends Past and Obsessed round out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Kamora Lee Simmons,
hi,
former wife of Russell Simmons, hip-hop legend, currently with Jamin Hunsu, had her third child over the weekend. We knew about it because she was Twittering while in labor.
While
of course
in labor.
She was.
Sending tweets like, it's time, no turning back, at hospital, in labor right now.
I hear your hatred for that event, Ralph, but I'm just asking, if she's in labor for like 18 hours, is it a big deal if she Twittered at some point in it? It's not like she was in the delivery room actually with the baby cresting, as far
as
I understand
the story.
Listen to
me. If you're going through that experience, and at any point it crosses your mind, how can I use this to self-promote? I find that insidious.
It does seem incredibly self-involved that you would need to share. I mean, aren't there things in your life that you do that are just for you?
Right. Could you be talking to Jamin Hunsu about your feelings or, you know, the dealing with the family or the doctors or whatever you do? Can't you just do that without it becoming a public event?
I know I'm just playing devil's advocate here, but maybe that's how she was keeping her friends and family and employees and everybody else kind of updated as to where she was in the process. I'm just suggesting that maybe it's not as heinous as you're making it sound.
Why are you so horrible?
He loves Twitter, that's why.
Why are
you
horrible?
It's not bad. It doesn't have anything to do with Twitter or me. It's just, I think there may be another. I mean, labor can be 3 days long.
Right.
Yeah.
So if somebody does something for 20 seconds, I don't think that automatically means they're not enjoying or experiencing the beauty of birth. That's all I'm suggesting.
Ralph, you're talking to a guy who doesn't really have a real life.
Well, when your babies were born, Bean, would you Twitter? Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Cindy Crawford had a great interview this week saying that she's glad her husband was accused of sexual harassment.
What?
Randy Gerber, her husband, was sued by former employees that brought accusations against him of sexual harassment.
And she's glad for that?
Yes. She says that made her realize that they were having problems in their marriage and got them both into marriage counseling. It's the best thing that ever happened to him.
Huh.
Oh, I loved it. I loved my husband being accused of banging other broads. It's the best. The best thing that ever happened to our marriage.
Was he found innocent or did it guilty? Or
I do not know the result of the suit. Yeah, I don't know if it has resolved yet. But apparently Cindy said she was glad it all happened. Hmm. Could not be better. Could not be a better situation.
Guilty.
As a judge.
And Susan Boyle.
Subo.
If you say Subo,
he loves that. Bean loves those little handles.
I'm gonna catch a flight to Seattle. Get on the ferry. I'm gonna come to your house, and I'm gonna eat one of your animals right in front of you.
Wow, rough.
Yeah, talking about kill it first. I'm gonna eat it live.
And at a bull.
I'll eat it live.
You talking about the hairy angel?
The hairy angel, as she's known in England, only came in second place on Britain's Got Talent Saturday night.
I thought she was all the rage, that she was unbelievable and she sung with the voices of angels and blah, blah, blah.
England did not like her as much as they liked Diversity, a dance troupe that won first place. They will go on to perform for Queen Elizabeth at the Royal Variety Show. Kevin, you'll be happy to know.
I'll bet she'll enjoy that.
She sure will. And reportedly, Susan had a emotional breakdown after she lost the show.
Off, loser.
Had to be rushed to a clinic in London, and doctors say she is exhausted and emotionally drained and ugly.
Loser, loser, loser.
And ugly. See, what if I had gotten that in?
And ugly.
Anywhere in between all the sound effects, that would
still
have
funny.
Been the joke.
Ralph, are you saying that the doctor said she was ugly?
That was their official medical opinion.
Okay.
Exhausted, emotionally drained, and ugly.
You get nothing. You lose.
Wrote it on her chart. That's what I'm saying. That's what the doctor said.
We'll do that again. We'll edit all that out and it'll sound perfect.
It's all right.
Yeah.
We'll all forget this happened tomorrow.
All right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Andy Griffith, legend of television, 83 years old today. Morgan Freeman is 72 years old. Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones is 62 years old. Terry Polo from Meet the Parents and other feature films is 40 years old. Heidi Klum celebrates her 36th birthday. And Alanis Morissette turns 35 years old. What are you doing, Bean?
You said Alanis Morissette's birthday?
Right, yeah.
Let me just take care of some business, please. Just thinking about one of her songs that I like so much.
All right.
Okay. Just be real quick. All right.
Hello,
is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, India.
We did that 15 years ago.
Yep. Sure
and
did.
Bean is prouder of nothing that has happened on this show than that.
He's never quite and got over it.
That is his
thing we ever did on this show.
That is his favorite thing that's ever been done.
If you the could put that back to back with Monty Hall,
don't even encourage
you,
him.
India.
Yes, it was.
Well,
you think we don't understand the concept? Of course we do.
Well, that was pointless.
It
was stupid when we did
it. I don't get a chance to play that very often.
Isn't it ironic
that
he played that?
Needless to say, you all failed.
I agree.
Yes, we do.
No, not Montreal. This is Monty Hall.
That's a different one.
Let's call it a day. What do you say,
let's,
folks?
Yeah, huh? Let's do that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, though, who are we calling here, Kevin?
Flea.
Oh, really?
Flea.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
How you guys?
How you been, man?
Great.
Great since the Lakers won on Friday night?
Oh, that was a very, very pleasant, satisfying, heartwarming victory.
Oh, I got to tell you, this is, of course, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. He blogs about the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And
I haven't been blogging lately that much, but, you know, here I am, Flea.
But
Lakers.
You've still been loving the Lakers, even if you haven't been writing about them.
Well, yeah, well, I do consider myself the official KROQ Lakers correspondent.
As do we.
Now, good.
Now, Bean said when he came in this morning that he was a little disappointed that it wasn't a good game, and I told him it was just fine.
Who was disappointed?
That was Bean, but he's not a Laker fan.
No, I'm fine with the Lakers. Of course, I'm rooting for the Lakers. Here's what I was saying, Flea. I was saying that every game prior to that Los Angeles had played against Denver, was a very exciting game. It was a close game. It was a hard-fought victory. This one, to me, Denver seemed so flat that it was almost like there was never any question who was going to win, and that was kind of anticlimactic after such a great series, and I felt the exact same thing about the Eastern Conference game with Cleveland and Orlando, too. All the other games were so much better than the clincher. That's all I was saying.
Yeah, well, I just have to wholeheartedly disagree. As a matter of fact,
too.
I have to vehemently disagree. That was a superb game where the Denver psyche was broken down. Their game plan was figured out. Every part of their psychological makeup crumbled and fell apart like a cheap suit while the Lakers trounced all over them victoriously. It was awesome!
Yeah, it felt so good, especially after going through a lot of playoff games where the Lakers would... You know, they wouldn't play defense very well sometimes. They wouldn't rebound very well sometimes. They put it all together in one game, and it was every second was sweet.
Yeah, well, you just kind of realized in that game that the Lakers, that Phil Jackson and the Lakers had been biding their time, figuring out, you know, that of course they wanted to win, and they played really hard to win the games that they won. But they had been, you know, Phil, as time went by, was figuring out the best way to deal with these guys, and he figured it out, and they put it all together in that game six and demolished him. And it just like... Watching Kobe Bryant pick those guys apart the way he did was just an awesome thing to see. It was so beautiful. I mean, not just, you know, everyone's so familiar with his offensive prowess, and it's awesome. But the way that he, like, hit the open man, and even, like, you know, seeing him hit Luke Walton, who hadn't made a basketball shot in an NBA basketball game in about 39 years, and he still, every time he was open... Kobe hit him, you know,
yep.
and gave him to keep his head in the game and bring him out of that slump and have him hit those shots. It was just so cool to see. And to see Kobe, you know, lift up the team and play so smart. It's just, you know.
Kobe had a wide-open three-pointer at one point. Wide open. And he never passes those up. But he saw Lamar Odom underneath the basket and got him the ball. It was really fascinating.
Yeah, he did that. And he had done that a few times during the series, too. Like with Lamar and also with Fish, when Fish also has just been... has not been shooting well at all.
Yep.
And I think to win, I don't know, maybe it was game one, when you know, the Lakers were down a whole game and he hit Fish in the corner for a big three. You know,
that's
when
right.
He was like 0-for-7 or something, you know.
And I have also heard people comment, by the way, and I didn't even really notice this at the time, but thinking back, you know how the tendency is whenever you advance to the next round of a playoffs, your team goes wild on that final game. Like, the Lakers could have really blown it out after the Denver win, but it was a very subdued celebration. It was almost like they were, hey, this is one step. We're not done yet. They kind of walked off the floor like they were ready to go instantly into the finals and start playing again because they realized they still got some ways to go.
Oh, yeah, they're just like, you know, French kissing before the coitus. they haven't even, you know, no way. They're just, you know, I just think that they're like, okay, we just played this game six the way that we're supposed to play basketball. We just played some Laker basketball. Let's stay focused and let's remain at this high level and bring it to Orlando.
They also still have, I would imagine, a terrible taste in their mouth from last year's finals. And let's face it, the final game, they got destroyed. And that's got to really, they've got to be chomping at the bit now to get back there and do it right.
Yeah, for sure. They want to do that. And that was a really heartbreaking loss. But when I look back at that Boston series last year, really that game six, you know, I mean, that was a really tough pill to swallow. But the hard one really was game four. And that was where the Lakers really got broken in that series.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
that was at
right.
home when they had that, whatever, 25-point lead and gave it up. I mean, that was, in all of my years of, like, obsessive to the point of neuroses Laker watching, that loss was one of the worst I've ever seen, that game.
This is the voice of Flea, our friend from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, on the phone on Kevin and Bean's Cinco de la Tarde. Let's look ahead for a minute. First, Flea, were you hoping we were going to get the Kobe-LeBron matchup, or are you glad to see the Lakers play in the Magic, or what's your take?
You know, I kind of wanted the Kobe-LeBron matchup, and not for the super two superstars reasons, that I really don't care about that, but only because the Cavaliers had the best record in the NBA. They were playing so well in the playoffs, and I just wanted the Lakers to beat who everyone considered the best. But bottom line is, Orlando's the best. They smoked Cleveland.
Yeah, you know? They did.
Cleveland just couldn't, you know, it's one thing in the regular season, it's another thing when the real pressure is on, you know, what a team is made of, and Cleveland just didn't have it, man. They didn't. They can't rely on one guy.
And how did the Lakers size up against Orlando?
The Lakers size up pretty well against them. I mean, clearly, Dwight Howard is just going to be a menace inside and really difficult to contain. But I think the Lakers can do it. They got to throw everything but the kitchen sink at that guy. Mbenga, Bynum, Gasol, you know, Lamar, everybody's got to be all over him. And the Lakers got to be quick and get out and guard those three-point shooters. But I really think the key, and I know this is might not be the smartest thing to say, but I think offensively is where the Lakers can really get him in trouble, because they can pound the ball inside to Lamar and Powell and Andrew and get Dwight Howard in foul trouble. I think that's what they need to do.
Game one of the NBA Finals is going to be this Thursday night, Los Angeles versus Orlando. Then game two is going to be Sunday. Both of those games are at home, and then it starts the away games in Orlando. Flea, if you're around, man, we'd love to check in with you next week and get your read on how it's going.
This is Flea, your Lakers correspondent.
I got to tell you, there are a lot of celebrities who show up at Laker games because it's the place to be seen, but Flea bleeds purple and gold.
Yeah.
He really is a hardcore fan from way back.
Well, real quickly, you often do the Star Spangled Banner before Laker games, and your most recent rendition on the electric bass was one of the best I'd ever heard. Are they going to give you a chance to do that at all during the finals?
Thank you very much. They might if I asked them, but I usually, you know, it's usually once a year thing, and I don't know. I already did it, you know. I usually just do it once a year, you know.
Gotcha. Right. Well, Flea, have a great first couple of games. Hopefully we'll talk to you next week, and go Lakers, man. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, go Lakers, you guys.
Well, our old friend President George W. Bush back in the news. You probably saw Kevin. He was on stage with former President Clinton at an event in Canada over the weekend, and he's been given a couple of little interviews talking about the stuff that he misses since he's been president. As a private citizen, what kind of things do he miss? And we thought, that's interesting. Let's talk to the man himself and find out what's up with former President Bush on the line. Hey, George.
Yeah.
George?
Yeah, how's it going?
You okay, Mr. President?
Yeah, I'm okay, just drinking.
Yeah.
A lot.
Well, I guess now you can, right?
I did then.
Well, I know, but now you don't have to hide it.
No, I don't have to hide it anymore. Yeah. It's just sad. It's just sad not being president anymore. Mm.
Well, I mean, you had two terms. I mean, it was eight years. That's all anybody gets.
I know. I wish I'd known that.
I was
looking forward to my third term. I wish someone had told me that.
They didn't tell you?
Someone had informed me I couldn't come back.
It's been that way since the beginning of the United States.
Really?
No, it hasn't actually.
No, it hasn't. Back.
It's great to meet someone who knows less than I do. That's kind of refreshing to meet someone who's dumber than me. Yeah. You just made my day.
Glad to cheer you up.
Thanks so much. I feel much
better. President Roosevelt won those four terms in a row, Kevin. Then they kind of changed
the
rules
of it. About
That's
that.
What I meant.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some of the stuff you mentioned in this article that you missed. Maybe you can elaborate. Flying on Air Force One.
Yeah.
Was that just for the convenience? You missed that or what?
Oh, and the peanuts.
The peanuts?
Oh, they had these great roasted peanuts come in a little foil pouch, and you could tear them open and eat them.
That's true on all airlines.
Oh, that ruled.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You miss eating meals prepared by the White House kitchen. Now, is it true when you're president in the White House, you can get anything you want 24/7? All you have to do is call downstairs; they'll bring it up.
The world's greatest room service,
yeah.
And those guys were really just top notch. That staff, they would pre-chew my pretzels for me.
Really?
Yeah. So I wouldn't kill myself.
So you wouldn't choke on a pretzel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really were thoughtful.
That one time we heard about, was your guy off that day or what?
Well, that's
what
when happened? They started doing it right after
I
that.
See.
Back when the country got started.
Now who makes your food?
Me, I make my own meals now, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. I eat a lot of SpaghettiOs.
Wow, that does suck.
Okay.
They're really O's. They're literally little O's made from spaghetti. I can't get over it. Every time I open a can, it's like a surprise to me. But they're literally little O's made from spaghetti.
I know what I wanted to ask you, Mr. President. A lot of wives complain when their husband retires and now he's hanging around the house all the time. What's it been like for Laura having you home?
Well, Laura has a lot of charity work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's working with inmates, big black inmates. She goes and pays visits to them in some little trailer outside the prison. She likes to go by and spend some one-on-one time with them. She says she's reading to them.
That doesn't sound like what you're...
I've never seen her with a book, though. I've never seen her carrying a book.
You should go with her one time and just check it out.
She's buying a lot of magnums. What does that mean, you think?
Magnum, like a condom?
I guess.
Yeah.
Either that or guns.
Nope. Probably a condom.
Just seen a lot of receipts from something called magnums.
Yeah.
I don't...
Maybe
you know what?
She's watching Magnum P.I. Tom Selleck.
I'm sorry I asked about Laura. You should not check that with her. You should not ask any follow-up questions. It's best if you don't know, Mr. President.
I miss torturing people, too.
Do you?
Yeah, that was good times. Yeah. I wish I could torture more.
Yeah?
Yeah. Maybe I should host Wipeout. Watch those guys bounce off those big balls.
I would watch that if you hosted it.
That's awesome. You ever eat SpaghettiOs and watch Wipeout?
No, not together, no.
Yeah, my life's like now.
Wow, yeah. That's pretty good. All right, Mr. Bush, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, whatever.
That is their new song from the Transformers soundtrack. Ralph, have you seen any of the trailers for Transformers 2 yet? And if so, what do you think?
I sure have, and I think it looks very Transformery.
Looks awesome.
It looks like it's even bigger than the last one.
It does.
Which sometimes can get on your nerves a little bit.
Not me.
Because the first one, I thought some of the battles ran a little long.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of lost me a little bit. So I'm hoping that that doesn't happen.
More Megan Fox, less fighting.
Speaking of Megan Fox, from what I can tell from the newest trailer, Shia LaBeouf moves away from the town where Megan Fox is in.
That's correct, yes.
Yeah, that's crap.
Yeah, it's science fiction, though.
I have a harder time believing that than there's transforming robots that come from space.
If you're leaving that town, you've got her chloroformed into your trunk, right, when you're leaving.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then he gives her a webcam, and she says, oh, that sounds cute. I was like, put that webcam up for all of us to see.
Why don't you take a look at this while you're living in your town, Megan? It's what I'm doing.
It's Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. It's Monday afternoon. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat, and I guess you're going to start with movies, come to think of it.
I am. We're going to talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, as we do every Monday. Up in its debut, $68.2 million.
Right?
Not bad. That's some money for a cartoon right there.
How about a little 69?
Everyone I know who has seen it comes out with puffy eyes and having cried.
Really?
They say they cry throughout the movie. Cry in the beginning, cry at the end, cry, cry.
Mm. Wow, that's a movie for me.
Party.
Hardly should call it up then, should they? Draw it down, if that's the case. If that's how you feel when you're done watching that movie. Night at the Museum, Battle of the Smithsonian. $25.5 million made it number two. Doing pretty well for itself still. Drag Me to Hell, in its debut, made $16.6 million. Made it number three. Then Terminator Salvation and Star Trek. Angels and Demons, Dance Flick, Wolverine, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, and Obsessed, rounding out your top 10, according to Variety newspaper. Sienna Miller, speaking of movies, is starring in the new G.I. Joe motion picture. She says she's very excited that she's having a new action figure made in her likeness.
As are we.
To celebrate the arrival of that feature film. However, she says it's a little disconcerting to think of how some boys may be playing with her replica, she says. What is she thinking?
How about a little 69?
By the way, they're little. The G.I. Joes are small.
Yeah, you've tried, haven't you?
Well, I'm just saying. Right. What are you going to do to a Sienna Miller figure that's small? Unless you're Psycho Mike?
Drown it.
Who's going to be?
What?
You drown it.
Don't even.
What does that even mean?
Don't ask.
They cover it with that's what it means.
Oh,
that's what it means.
I wasn't even thinking of that.
That's what he means by drowning it.
Go away.
Yeah. Stop speaking to me. Katy Perry.
Ah!
Yes.
She's a bit of a wild child.
Drown it.
And everyone always talks about how her dad's a minister.
Right.
And she's such a wild kid. How can that have been happening to her?
Yeah, what a puzzle.
What a puzzle, people ask.
Yes.
And say. Well, she says it's not that ridiculous because he's a bit out there himself. She says, she's very proudly says that her dad has 4 tattoos.
Really?
All over his body. All of them have Jesus in them somewhere.
So he's a minister with an edge. He plays by his own rules. He's God's rebel.
Jesus
coming
tattoos.
This fall on the CW. He's 62 years old, and he's very proud of his Jesus tattoos. And he's going to get a pair of big red lips on his neck.
Is he?
That's what he's
going to
shoot for. Yeah. Like that dude on the Nuggets.
Yeah, and I saw Soldier Boy tell him last night on my TV. He's got the same thing with the lips on his neck, too. What's that hot new trend?
Makes you look like a girl's just kissed you.
Yeah.
Where is that? Got that going.
Next time, think before you ink.
And lastly, congratulations to Brandon Flowers.
Ooh.
He and his wife, Tana, are expecting a baby. It's the second addition for the couple. They have a toddler son, currently named Amon, who turns 2 next month. The new baby, they're thinking of calling Back. This will be Back Amon.
I don't think that's actually true.
The second baby name, they're naming Nishin. Ammunition.
Oh, you're making the kids sad now, Ralph. Come on.
Ammon. Ammon's a bad name.
It is.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Andy Griffith, TV staple, legend. Star, of course, of the Andy Griffith Show for many years. Went on to become Matlock. And now he's Dusty McFart. Brand new series this fall.
I didn't hear about that.
I think the last thing he did was that video he did with the Ron Howard to try to get Barack Obama elected.
That's right.
I think it was the last thing I saw him in.
Morgan Freeman turned 72 years old today. Actor Powers Booth, very talented actor. He is 61 years old. Terry Polo from Meet the Parents is 40. Heidi Klum is 36 years old. Simon Gallup, bassist for The Cure, is 49. And Alanis Morissette celebrates her 35th birthday today. Beanie, any phone calls you
nope.
want to make?
Do we have time? Because I mean, if you brought up Alanis Morissette, I mean, that does make me think of my favorite song by her. I'd love to make a call.
All right.
It's long distance. Uh-huh. I hope that's okay.
No, go ahead.
It's never been fun.
Just once a year, I get a chance to call.
Not funny once.
Hello, is this India?
Yes, it is.
Yes, we're just calling to say thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yay!
What's in him?
Come on!
Just wow. Giggle like a schoolgirl.
So happy.
That happened when that song was out, which was, what, 15 years ago?
Had to be.
Yeah.
Maybe. Dean plays that every chance he gets and still laughs hysterically.
Yep.
It's never the greatest tickle him.
It's like an Oscar-winning role for an actor. Look, you're always going to look back on that as the high point of your career because that's the one that you won the statue for. That's how I feel about The Call to India.
Did you win the statue for that bit?
In my mind, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bean. I mean, period.
That's true.
Bean. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it till the day I die.
Hey.
Bean.
Hey.
So you're saying an Oscar-winning movie with that bit. We're saying Ernest Goes to Camp with that bit. That's the difference.
Best Forgotten is what you're suggesting?
That's what we're saying, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.